I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, tell my sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, tell my sisters.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Oh, my goodness. Y'all miss me? You miss me? Oh, my goodness. Back here in the chair again. It's been an amazing thing. I promised myself I'm never gonna get sick again. It is too ugly. way too ugly. You need to get up. You need to give me a call at 1-877-920-WGNU. I cannot help but reflect today on where we are today. And also to give you kind of a heads up on some of the things that we're going to be doing in this fast-paced days that we have ahead of us. It is interesting that today is the day. It marks the day. Today's date marks the day that we have been in Iraq longer than we were in World War II. Longer than we were in World War II. Now let's just reflect upon that for a moment, if you don't mind, because I enjoy reflection. This country was able to defeat all of Nazi Germany. This country was able to defeat Mussolini, the entire Japanese Empire, in less time than it's taken the world's only superpower to secure a road from the airport to downtown Baghdad. You feeling me? You feeling me? That's what happens when you have a D student / F student ex-cheerleader in the White House. We defeated Mussolini. We defeated the Japanese. We defeated Nazi Germany in less time, and we still don't have a road to the airport in Baghdad. Why do you think Boy George is meeting in Jordan? The president of Iraq in Jordan. My name is Liz Brown. I ain't done. Haven't been here for a while. I'll be back.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
Everything's coming up roses.
Hey, everybody. I'm Scott Cooper. I want to invite you to tune in to my show, Floral Design Inside and Out, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here on WGNU. Join me as I take you on a journey inside the incredible world of flowers. I'll entice you with ideas from weddings to home entertaining and so very much more. I'm all about flowers and a whole lot of fun. Please join me Tuesdays at 10 a.m. as we stop and smell the flowers right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi. is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. Oh, yeah. We have now been in Iraq longer than we were in World War II. And understand that the conditions that we find ourselves in Iraq, 71% of all Iraqis want all of us out. 61% of Iraqis support insurgent attacks on the United States, on our troops. You know what? It is time to cut and run. It's the only brave thing to do. It's time to get the heck out of here, out of Iraq. And I'm not talking 6 months from now. I'm not talking 1 year from now. I'm talking right now. It's time to get the heck out of Iraq. They lied to get us into it. They lied to keep us in it. And they're lying right now to make us stay there. It is time to get out of Iraq. They have spent tens of billions of dollars. We defeated, I gotta say it again, we defeated Japan, we defeated Germany, we defeated Mussolini. In less time, there is not a road, there isn't a road in Baghdad to the airport that is safe to travel. How can that be? Think about it. How can that be? That, you know, George Bush could walk down the streets of Baghdad when Saddam Hussein was there. He can't do it now. He can't do it now. It is time to cut and run. It is time to get out of Iraq, period, dot. It's the only brave thing to do. Get out of there. We lost. We lost. Shouldn't have been in the fight to begin with. You owe an apology to our troops. You owe them payment for their suffering. You owe an apology to the American people. And you need to get us out of there. Done and done. We lost. We lost. Occupiers usually do. If you're occupying a country, eventually that country will make you get the heck up out of there. Eventually they will. Whether they have to kill every single one of you, whether they have to poison you, no matter what, they will get you out of there. And if you were an occupying, if this country was an occupying force that was there to help,
we wouldn't be there anymore. I'm telling you, I think often about the call that I received before I got sick a little over a week ago. I don't know. Some of you may not have heard this call. I got a call from a taxi cab driver who talked about how he picked up a fare to take the fare out to, I guess, in the Chesterfield area, a soldier. A soldier who sat in the back of the cab and shared a conversation with his taxi cab driver. He shared it in a kind of a moment of desperation. It was a desperate soul cleansing conversation that this soldier boy had. He said, I have to say this to you because I can't tell anybody else this. I can't tell my family this. I'm sworn to secrecy. I can't tell my wife this. Can't tell my mama. Can't tell my friends. Can't tell anybody because I'm sworn to secrecy. I'm going to tell you, Mr. Taxi Cab Driver, because I know I'll never see you again and you'll never see me again. But I've got to get this off of my chest. I have got to tell this. And this soldier boy said to the taxi cab driver, you know what my job is? My job is to work along with other soldiers on a tanker. And that tanker's job is to take oil from the Iraqi pipelines and to ship that oil back to American oil reserves. Let me ask you this. Does that chill you? I can't prove this. I can't prove this, but the story resonated with me. I was kind of thinking, I was talking this over with a friend of mine, and he said, you know, perhaps that explains why Boy George opened up our reserves. And because we have all this extra oil, free oil, coming in from Iraq. How chilling is that? And then the soldier boy said to the taxi cab driver, you know, I'm going to have you let me off here at the gas station right here. I'll make it home from here. Because you don't need to know where I live. And the taxi cab driver dropped him off. And the soldier boy went on his way. Now, I can't prove any of this. It would be a Pulitzer Prize if I could. But think about it. It makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense, doesn't it? Why are we still there? Boy George is losing his legacy. The Republicans lost their majority. This country has lost its credibility. Why are we still there? Why? Oil. And we're stealing it. Who would know, y'all? Who would know? Who would report it? What a beautiful, beautiful, easy theft. Let's pump it into our tankers and take it home and put it in our oil reserves. No harm, no foul. And we'll just stay there with chaos. Because if the country were stable, you couldn't steal like that. Many in this country lost their minds over the looting that took place after different rebellions. Well, baby, stealing a television set from a hardware store doesn't begin to compare with the looting that is going on by our government in Iraq. kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to stay with me. Oh, we got some stuff to talk about. We have to talk about that Mike Richards stuff. You know we do. You know we do. You know we do. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. In both directions, 170 at Del Mar and Pager's construction. Roadways reduced to two lanes, and southbound traffic is heavy near Page. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79. Look for slow traffic going on there. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Marshall is slow. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 270, you've got some congestion there. Westbound 270 from 367 through New Florissant, look for normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is looking good across the bridge this hour. Northbound Route 3 under the Poplar Street Bridge is starting to stack up a bit. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect no delays. And westbound 64 to the 5570 merge, look for no delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's. McDonald's new premium roast coffee. It's not just gourmet, it's better. Taste it for yourself. Get a free small coffee on Free Coffee Mondays. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Things change pretty rapidly in the next 48 hours. Breezy, cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms today with a high in the upper 60s this evening. Chance of showers and thunderstorms as well with a low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, cloudy, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high around 70. But then Wednesday evening, everything changes. Much colder, breezy, occasional showers and thunderstorms with a low in the mid-30s. Then on Thursday, blustery, much colder, occasional rain in the morning, then mixing with freezing rain and or sleet by the afternoon. Significant ice accumulations are possible. Highs only in the mid-30s, and they'll be falling into the 20s by the afternoon. And then on Thursday evening, colder snow is likely. Heavy snow accumulations are possible with a low in the lower 20s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 58 degrees and cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 58 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
This is Esther Wright, General Manager of WGNU. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Liz Brown, winner of the 2006 award for Best Political Coverage Radio from the Greater St. Louis Association of Black Journalists. her discussion last January of the continued delay of government aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina is just another reason why we call it award-winning. Tune in weekday mornings at 6 a.m. to hear Liz Brown on the award-winning Wake Up Call, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
I wish I didn't get so weak. Oh, ooh, baby, just to hear you speak makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen, a queen upon her throne.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget the blanket drive. The blanket drive is December 15th. We have a short turntable or timetable here. We're going to be meeting this Friday. Those of you that want to work on the blanket drive, you'll be getting some calls, but please put this on your calendar for this Friday at 6 o'clock. We're going to be meeting at the White House there on Union. Irene J. Smith's office. We're going to be meeting there this Friday. We'll talk about getting your T-shirts. We'll talk about your assignments for the blanket drive. But that's this Friday, the day after the day after the day after tomorrow, so today. So, blanket drive, December 15th. Get your blankets ready. We have the $5 blankets that we always get at the Kmart's out there. So, blanket drive. Isn't it amazing that it hasn't even been cold enough in the month of November, huh? Yeah, the weather's supposed to change. So again, once again, perfect timing for the blanket drive. Thursday, it's supposed to go crazy. That's why I want you all to go out and to get your blankets. The blanket drive is December 15th. Remember, you can drop your blankets off at the station. You can drop your blankets off at Carver House. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 o'clock. And you also can go to Dollar General store, go to the dollar stores, get your $5 blankets there, get your blankets for the blanket drive, the third annual blanket drive, and it will take place on December 15th. Irene and I, of course, will be broadcasting live from Carver House. So get your blankets for the blanket drive, 1-877-920-WGNU. Christine.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome back.
Thank you.
I missed you, and I'm sure your other listeners missed you, too.
Thank you. It's good to be missed.
I know. And I want to tell you that I really enjoyed they were called the best of the interviews you had.
Mm-hmm.
And the selections were just outstanding. And
have to thank Howard for that. Howard went in, and he made the call on the shows that were played in my absence. So that's all Howard.
They were outstanding. And I can see why everyone that I heard they are award-winning, because I figure for three reasons. This is just my opinion that they were facts to empower the people, and they were most, I'd say 99.9% of your guests were nonpartisan. And the most important thing of all, you could always get involved. They left numbers where you could call and advice how you could get involved to help your situation. And that in itself is award-winning. And a couple of them really stood out that said it was like deja vu. You had a guest on, her name, I believe, was Nancy Stoner.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a clean water activist.
Yep.
And the thing she was telling us about how they were planning to blend untreated sewer waste with our drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that same water, that contaminated water, could be used to spray on our vegetables and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And now we find out that our spinach was contaminated and killed
people. How does spinach kill people? And you know what? And the other piece of it, I love spinach. Try to go to the grocery stores and find spinach now. You really can't.
I love spinach too. And the only one I dared to eat was maybe canned, and right now I'm not so sure of that.
Mm.
It's just terrible.
It is terrible.
And we don't know what it could be more than spinach. It could be lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. And we really don't know how many people died and how many people were sickened. And
mm-hmm.
another interview that I really, it was deja vu, you had someone on, was an advocate against the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And they were speaking about a woman by the name of Frances Newton in Texas. And they had all kind of information that she was innocent, but she was still on death row, and they had given her something like a little over a three-month stay. And they were talking about one of her incompetent attorneys, and they mentioned his name was Ron Moss. And I said to myself, I wondered, could he be any kin to Nails Moss? And I was thinking about Marvin Gray and Reggie Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, he was grossly incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, I sure would like to know whether she was killed or whether this contaminated act, sewer act, went into place or not.
Okay, and we know what, we need to do some follow-ups. And we're going to do some more best of it when we do our year in review as well. So you'll have some more shows to listen to. But thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Rob, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I was just sitting here thinking about what you was talking about, Hitler and Mussolini, and I think this president and his cronies need to be put up on war crimes, crimes against humanity. When you think about all the suffering and death that this president caused, it's a shame.
600,000 dead Iraqis. 600,000 dead Iraqi people.
And when you think about the veterans, I'm a veteran myself, when you think about those soldiers coming back home maimed and killed, it's horrifying.
It is.
That's my comment.
All right. Thank you so much. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much, to talk about. Daryl, good morning.
Hey, Liz, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I heard you've been sick and everything, and I really missed you and everything. Glad to have you back.
Well, thank you. I was sick. I was sick for about a week and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What you had a bad cold or something?
I had some kind of flu thing that was just horrible. It was horrible, horrifying, bad. I will never get sick again. I'm taking care of myself. I don't ever want to have to go through that again.
I know that's right.
It was bad.
Talk to yourself about her and everything, because this weather is, woof.
This weather is crazy.
It's like an elevator. You don't know what's going on.
This weather is crazy. It truly is.
Okay, I'll listen to your show, baby, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Daryl.
All right, baby.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I recognize that we live in a country that is full of diverse beliefs, full of diverse ideas, positions, observations, takes on things. I understand that and I accept that. But there are still some things that happen in this country that just make you shake your head and say, good God, how can we live in the same place? How can we occupy the same country? How can we occupy the same country? It is just amazing. I'm looking at this article coming out of I believe it's Colorado. I believe. And a Pagosa Springs resident is resisting an order by her homeowners association to remove a peace symbol shaped wreath from the exterior of her house. Do you hear me? They are offended by a peace sign, and I quote, and I'm quoting, okay? Tell me if some folks do not occupy vigorously the land of Lala. The homeowners association is demanding that this peace sign made up of wreaths with the Christmas red bow at the bottom of it. They are demanding that this peace sign be removed because it is wrong to have a peace sign up during a time of war. Did you hear what I just said? They say it's wrong to have a peace sign up during the time, during a time of war. Nuts. Nuts, nuts, nuts. They said that she and her husband would face a $25 per day fine if they do not take down the peace sign. The peace sign has a lot of negativity associated with it. I guess so. I guess it does. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Please put it on your calendar. Don't forget the blanket drive is December 15th, December 15th, December 15th. Get your blankets ready. Drop them off. Drop them off here at the station or George Washington Carver House. We're going to have a meeting this Friday for the workers. The blanket drive workers this Friday at 6 o'clock. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters, no matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Now Goldie's Music has compiled the very best of Dean Martin in a 3-CD package called
Everybody Loves Somebody Somehow.
Yes, you get 36 of the very best of Dean Martin.
Send me the pillow that you dream of.
This greatest hits package is not available in stores, but only available through this special radio offer. It's the very best of Dean Martin.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
All songs have been digitally remastered for the highest possible quality. Add the very best of Dean Martin to your collection today. Here's how to order. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995.
Single female, in search of companionship, male or female, must be willing to give and receive unconditional love. Must be affectionate, playful, cuddly, willing to be by my side through good times and bad. Not run away when they see what I look like in the morning. Must be willing to cheer me up after a rough day. Likes to go for long walks or runs. One to sit by my side while I watch a movie that makes me cry. A companion that will be there when I get home and be excited to see me when I walk in the door. A companion that won't judge me or take me for granted. I know you're out there. I just wish dogs could read.
To find the companion of your dreams, go to www.strayrescue.org to find out about weekly adoption events, volunteer opportunities like foster parenting, dog walking, fundraising, and more. Stray Rescue of St. Louis is a non-for-profit organization operating two no-kill shelters in the St. Louis area. For more information, call 314-771-6121 or go to www.strayrescue.org.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Goodbye, mom.
Welcome back. Hello, morning. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You all know that in my sick bed, surrounded by my boxes of Kleenex and my over-the-counter drugs and my bottles of water and my vitamins and everything, I'm lying on the couch or in my bed, cussing at the television set when the Michael Richards story broke. Cussing at the television set. So y'all gonna have to forgive me, and you're gonna have to allow me this indulgence, because in the next hour I'm gonna have Todd Burrows on, one of our journalists, one of our African journalists that we often hear from on the Looking Black segment of the show. We're gonna be talking to Todd Burrows, and we're gonna be talking about this Michael Richards thing. It is so huge. It was breaking news last night from Maxine Waters about this story. We need to talk about it. And I was cussing, and if I had the strength, I would have been throwing things. And if I was anything like Elvis and had a gun, I would have shot my television set out, because it was the most outrageous, racist rant that has ever been caught. And this is why, folks. I am so excited about the times that we live in, the electronic opportunities that we have, because you know what? That rant was caught on a cell phone video. On a cell phone video. That's why we know about it. That's why we know about it, because someone had their cell phone with a video camera. Welcome to the 21st century, y'all. Remember, I always tell y'all, carry a camera with you. Now you don't even have to get a camera. You have your phone. Take the pictures, because Michael Richards would still be on the stage today. Jerry Seinfeld would have been able to go on Letterman and push his anniversary box set of Seinfeld unobstructed if there hadn't been somebody with a cell phone and with a video camera in it. So, you know, welcome to the 21st century. This is how we can protect ourselves. This is how we can tell the stories. And one of the things that I want you to do, because as part of this whole 21st century thing, understand that there is, Michael Richards doesn't represent an anomaly at all. He represents a celebrity that felt so comfortable in his, you know, let me backtrack, because I'm sorry, I have so much in me to talk about on this. Let me ask you this question. Do you think someone should have asked Jerry Seinfeld, have you ever heard Michael Richards use the N-word before? And the only answer has to be H-E double toothpicks, yeah. Absolutely. You know Jerry Seinfeld has heard it. You know that every member on that cast has heard Michael Richards use the N-word. You know they have. Because he was comfortable in using it. It was habit. He didn't have to dig deep into the well of racism. It was right there on the surface. He called black people during his little appearance on Letterman's show Afro-Americans. Who the heck calls black folks Afro-Americans? Not anybody that is used to saying anything but the N-word about black folks. The reason he said Afro-Americans was because the only other word he had in his bag was the N-word. And he said Afro-Americans because he doesn't use that word. He uses the N-word. Ask Jerry Seinfeld, have you ever heard Michael Richards use the N-word? And you know the answer has to be, yes, I have. Yes, I have. Shame on him. We're going to be talking about this. That man is a racist, pure and simple. And then it gets to my other concern. I've watched Seinfeld. I have. I stopped watching it. Because of Richards, because I don't like that. He's not a Lucille Ball in terms of this fall down, all of this stuff. That stuff to me got old. But nevertheless, I did watch it. And I always had, watched the show and looking for, you know, looking for black folks. And it reminded me, Seinfeld reminded me of Dallas back in the 80s. How are you going to have a show about Dallas, Texas, with all the black folks and Hispanic folks in there? You don't see any black folks or Hispanic folks in it. How do you have a show about New York when you don't have black folks in it? And then the black folks that they had in it were always these super buffoonery type of characters. Maybe because they couldn't have, maybe we'll hear from some of those black folks who'll come out to talk about how they heard Michael Richards refer to black people as with the N-word. Folks need to tell the truth. Folks need to tell the truth. Madison.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome back. I'm so glad you feel better.
Thank you.
Oh, I have so much in me, but just quickly regarding this comedian. I don't even want to give him a name anymore. This is what I don't understand, and Liz, maybe you can help me. Why do we find it necessary to throw him on Jesse Jackson's show to reach out to him to allow him to apologize? I don't understand why we find that necessary.
Okay, who's the we in this?
Well, I'm just saying we as a, you know, just kind of a term. Why black people? Why Jesse Jackson? Maybe I should just say, why does Jesse Jackson feel it necessary to put him on?
Well, did you hear him on Jesse Jackson's show?
No, I okay. just saw it on the you know, just on the television as of, you know, this is what happened today.
Did you hear what Jesse Jackson said about him?
No, what did he say?
He said he's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think as a journalist, I think that I would want him on my show. I would have him on my show to ask him a bunch of questions. I didn't hear the questions that were asked on.
I love him on your show.
Pardon?
You want to know the truth?
Pardon?
Can you get that?
I will try. I don't see it happening, but I will try. But yeah, I'd love to have him on my show. There are a couple of things I'd like to ask him. Absolutely. But Jesse Jackson, the quote that I saw from Jesse Jackson was, that was pathetic, what he said. And other comedians, other black comedians I've heard out there said, you know, that's racist. He's a racist for saying it. There's no defense of this. I'm not hearing any kind of apology being offered. The question shouldn't be asked of Jesse Jackson why you would have him on your show, because I would have had him on my show. The question is, Michael Richards, isn't it interesting that your choice was, let me go find Jesse. Let me go find Jesse. When I called him the N-word on Saturday, but let me go find Jesse to see if I can get on his show.
Right, right.
You know,
I
so.
Tell you, Tom Green's another comedian who said, oh, I really don't think that, I think we're being too hard on.
Because Tom Green uses the N-word too.
Well, they probably all does. Michael Richards just got caught.
Michael Richards got caught not because, this is the thing, Madison, that was just so clear to me about how comfortable and how frequent of a racist Michael Richards is. You know that he went to the comedy club on Saturday and the comedy club let him perform.
Yes,
you know,
I didn't understand.
Oh, yes, you did understand. Yes, you did, because they didn't care. He had done this before.
Yes.
They didn't care. People walked out of that club on the night that he did that. Mm-hmm. People were angry about that, and the owner of that comedy club let this racist man come back and do his stuff again.
Well, and, you know, real quickly, Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld and George Wilds are all very good friends. They grew up and stayed in a full house together. So Jerry Seinfeld looked like a thick chicken on David Letterman.
And you know why Jerry was there, don't you?
I
know. Let me tell you why he was there.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was there to offer his friend an apology. No, baby, no, baby, no. He was there originally to talk about the anniversary sale of his CD box set.
That's right.
Okay.
It's coming out.
It's coming out. And Jerry Seinfeld is unlike Friends, unlike any of these other shows, it's Seinfeld's name on the box.
Right.
So he has a whole lot to lose, for his name will now be synonymous with this racist act.
Absolutely right.
You know, and you can't tell me that Jerry Seinfeld hasn't heard this man use the N-word plenty of times before.
Right. Well, thank you, Liz, and welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Mac.
Yeah, Miss Brown, how are you this beautiful day? I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
And matter of fact, I think they're finna give him get the people's free tickets to come to the show so he can apologize to everybody at the show.
He needs to kiss my grits.
And about that peace sign, I know you got to go. I'd like to know the age of the person that wants to sign down, because we wore them all in during the Vietnam era.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That's just some stupid person.
This is an organization. This is the organization of the Homeowners Association. All their members voted to take it down because...
Well, there must be some kind of little project building or something.
I don't know.
The Homeowners Association. Okay, then, Ms. Brown, have a beautiful day. See you Friday.
All right, Mac. Listen, folks, Todd Burrows is going to join us in the next hour. You don't want to miss this conversation. Stay with me.
Poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. On to Latvia. President Bush arrived in Riga today, site of the NATO summit. Earlier, he met with the president of Estonia, and he reaffirmed his position on Iraq. ABC's Ann Compton is traveling with him.
At a news conference here, President Bush insisted Iraq is not in the throes of civil war, but of al-Qaeda-inspired violence designed to destabilize democracy. And at their Wednesday meeting, the pressure will be on Prime Minister Maliki.
I will ask him, what is required and what is your strategy to be a country which can govern itself and sustain itself?
It's fine if Iraq wants direct talks with Iran, but the U.S. will not talk until Iran suspends its nuclear program. Ann Compton, ABC News, Tallinn, Estonia.
Pope Benedict is in Turkey for a visit. The nation's prime minister is calling a bridge between religions. Turkey is largely Muslim, and many there are angry over recent comments by the Roman Catholic leader that some say were critical of Islam. Benedict says he is hoping for dialogue, brotherhood, and reconciliation. Tens of thousands of Ford employees have been told it's time to make up their minds, stay with the company, and risk a future layoff or take an early exit. They've been offered either early retirements or a buyout package. Ford has been dogged for a long time by declining sales and by increasing costs. It's hoping that up to 30,000 employees will take advantage of this offer. A Florida foster parent who has been an advocate for them, in fact, he heads an organization that promotes foster parenthood, is now under arrest. Police say George Gold is charged with molesting two of his children. He's had more than a dozen foster kids in his home over the last few years. This is ABC News.
Merry Christmas.
To many in your local community, this is the sound of Christmas. Together, Walmart and the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign have been helping change the lives of those in your community for 20 years. And this year, our commitment is stronger than ever. From our families to yours, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Honey, remember how I felt after swing dancing?
Oh, you got a pain reliever for your arthritis pain.
That wasn't as bad as trying tennis.
When you got something just for a sore shoulder.
But I'm done taking different pain relievers. Now I'm all Advil.
Mm-hmm.
It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain.
So what are we waiting for? Let's dance.
I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers for minor arthritis pain, use as directed.
If you're a woman of a certain age, you know that mammograms are necessary, but they are painful, and soon they could be a thing of the past. Here's ABC's Daniela Bellotta.
A new machine that is better at detecting breast cancer has been developed by doctors at the University of Rochester in New York. Mammograms are still the best technology available, but they miss up to 15% of all breast cancers. In a pilot study, the new cone-beam breast-computed tomography scanner, which takes 360-degree views, found cancers mammograms didn't. And the biggest bonus? It doesn't require flattening the breast between two cold glass plates. Clinical trials will begin next year. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
And they said it wouldn't last. Pamela Anderson and Kid Rock made it a whole 4 months before they called it quits. Both filed papers for divorce. Neither the actress nor the singer are saying why. Maybe it got boring after all those weddings. They had one in France, one in Beverly Hills, and one in Nashville. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, St. Louis County Police continue to investigate yesterday's fatal shooting of a suspect in a Lime standoff. Police spokesperson Tracy Panis says police fatally shot 38-year-old Anthony Lynn after forcing him out of a home in the 200 block of Runyon, where he had held police at bay for several hours.
And he eventually did come out of a second-story window. Initially, he came out with a dog and a handgun, and then he put the dog on the roof, reached back inside, and came back out with a long gun, at which time he pointed it at us, and we were forced to use deadly force.
One officer was injured during the standoff when he was shot 3 times in the buttocks. He's expected to fully recover. Police are also trying to locate 3 of Lynn's family members, 76-year-old Norma Manolakos, 56-year-old Nedra Flippo, and 59-year-old Michael Paulette haven't been seen since Wednesday, and police are concerned for their safety. The sole survivor of a train SUV crash in Marissa is out of intensive care. According to the Belleville News-Democrat, the family of 12-year-old Julie Seymour is expected to speak about her condition this afternoon. Julie's condition was upgraded yesterday from serious to fair. She was riding with 43-year-old Tina Porter, her 13-year-old daughter Alyssa, and 13-year-old Donna Calvert, who all died in the crash. Finally this hour, St. Louis County residents and business owners are being invited to today's St. Louis County Council public hearing on the recommended 2007 budget. Council Chairman Kurt Odenwald expects that some people will want to have some input on road construction issues affecting the Highway 40 reconstruction project. Odenwald says any St. Louis County resident is invited to offer concerns or comments at the hearing. The public hearing begins at 5 this evening in the St. Louis County Council chambers. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sears Auto Center. Give yourself the gift of tires. Right now, get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires, only at Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sales end 12/24/06. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 170 at Del Mar, there's an injury accident. Traffic's being detoured off the highway at Ladue. Traffic is slowing near Club Tower as we speak. Eastbound 64 onto the ramp to Greenmount Road, there's an accident reported that's over in Madison County. Westbound 40 at McKnight, there's an accident. Right lane's blocked, and it appears to be a person that's been struck by a vehicle. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 55 is slow between Butler Hill and 270. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Marshall Road, look for no delays this hour. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry through Washington Elizabeth, you can expect delays there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slowing mid-span, and northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is backed up between Queenie all the way onto the top of that ramp. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. McDonald's new premium roast coffee, it's not gourmet, it's better. Taste it for yourself. Get a free small coffee during Free Coffee Mondays. That's McDonald's. I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Weather's going to change drastically in the next 48 hours today. Breezy, cloudy, a 30% chance of showers and a possible thunderstorm, high in the upper 60s this evening. Cloudy, another chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, cloudy during the day, chance of showers and storms throughout the day with a high in the 70s. However, high around 70 actually. However, Wednesday evening, that's when everything changes. Breezy, much colder, occasional showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid 30s. Then on Thursday morning, blustery, mostly much colder. Occasional rain in the morning mixing with freezing rain and sleet by the afternoon. Significant ice accumulations are expected. The high will be in the mid-30s. However, the temps will be falling into the 20s by the afternoon. Then Thursday evening, colder snow likely. Heavy snow accumulations are possible with a low in the lower 20s. Currently, we have clouds and 58 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 59. Stay tuned for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, it's Liz. Right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I see I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. And this is just a reminder, folks. Don't forget, December 15th, the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive takes place at the George Washington Carver House. We join our friends at the George Washington Carver House. Once again, attempting to warm hearts all over the city of St. Louis. And so put it on your calendar. Get your blankets ready. We're really advocating that you go to a lot of the dollar stores out here have the $5 blankets because we do something that's different. We don't take used blankets. We get new blankets for folks. And they have them for $5 at the dollar stores all over the place at Kmart. You need to go on down and get your blankets. We want this to be bigger and better than it was last year. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of blankets. We gave them out the following Saturday. We need to make this happen again this year. December 15th is the day. We will have drop-off here at the station. You can start dropping your blankets off at 6 o'clock all the way to 10 o'clock. We will be broadcasting live from George Washington Carver House. We'll be taking blankets there as well. You can drop your blankets off there December 15th. And, you know, the timing is right for this because normally we do it in November, but it was such a warm November. And the weather is starting to change now, so this is perfect timing. The Wake Up Call 3rd Annual Blanket Drive. This is our third year. Let's make it a banner one. We're going to have a meeting this Friday for all of the Blanket Drive volunteers at 6 o'clock right there at Highway 70 and Union, you know, the Irina J. Smith's office, 6 o'clock this Friday. So let's get together. Let's get it done. Let us change the world with our Blanket Drive here. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I've confessed last hour. I'll confess again this hour. I've been out sick for about a week and a half, and there's a whole lot of stuff that I didn't get a chance to talk about that I, doggone it, I'm going to talk about it. And to my partner in crime this morning is Todd Burrows. He's joining me from the Washington, D.C. area. He's a freelance journalist with Crisis Magazine. We'll be back to have a conversation starting with the Michael Richards story. Stay with us. We'll be back. Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Maple Temple Church of God in Christ presents its regular multimedia Sunday night radio broadcast at 8 o'clock every week here on WGNU. District Superintendent John Watson invites you to lift your spirit with prayer, preaching, teaching, and singing live from the sanctuary of Maple Temple, 5159 Maple Avenue. Catch the Maple Temple radio broadcast Sunday nights at 8 o'clock here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
That I got something within me. Oh, 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 yes. Something within me. Something within me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Let's talk about some of this stuff. Let us talk about some of this stuff that's been going on. And again, the journalist who will be joining me for this discussion is Todd Burrows. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. You were hurting me with that take six of
it. You like that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You like that.
Hurt me up there with that. I was like, she could let that go a little while longer.
Okay. Isn't that a good one? I just love them. I just absolutely love them.
I think I had their first two albums, and I really loved those first two albums. Then they started to get pop and all of that.
Yeah. So.
Didn't work out. Hi, Liz.
How are you?
How you doing?
I am much better now that I'm on the air.
I know, because, you know, talk people, they need to talk.
Yes, we do. So, Michael Richards.
Michael Richards.
You know, I think, you know, and it's kind of...
The name sounds familiar. Michael Richards. You know, have you been in the news recently?
I think he's been in the news recently, and I think it was just fitting that Howard chose that one, because that song by Take Six, because Something Within Me is the name of it.
So. Well, something was within him, Liz.
Yeah.
And I think it was the same thing that was within... Senate candidate in Virginia, George Allen.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the proper comparison here. There was something within him.
Mm-hmm. A little macaca moment.
Uh-huh. And you know, thanks, of course, to cell phones and camcorders and all of the technology we have, you know, we can now catch anybody at a macaca moment.
And here's the thing that's interesting to me, Todd, as we try to deconstruct these macaca moments.
Yes.
The thing that I think it was consistent with the George Allen statement and the Michael Richards statement is that the comfort level that both of them had with saying what they said.
With a microphone.
With a microphone.
In an audience.
In an audience.
Where they could be criticized.
Where they could be criticized.
But they didn't worry about that.
They didn't. So what does that say to you that they didn't worry about it?
I think it says that the psyche of those in power, it's becoming more and more difficult for them to disguise that they are losing that power, and they are uncomfortable with losing that power. And I think that you know, what's in them surged out when they saw that they were being, in their minds, threatened. Think about it. George Allen had somebody from the web camp following him around. He didn't like it. So he decided to make fun of the guy. And that's why he said macaca. Our friend Kramer. And, you know, the sad thing is, I love Seinfeld. And Kramer's my favorite character on Seinfeld. So, like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I know what you could, because you're not going to, your spirit's not going to let you watch it anymore. You're not going to be able to watch it anymore. Just like when I heard Jon Stewart use the N-word. I've never been able to watch The Daily Show again.
Well, you know, Jon Stewart, see again, that comfort level now, you know, I really don't have cable, you know, so I don't watch Jon Stewart. I've only heard about Jon Stewart. But, you know, when he made that joke, for instance, when he was pretending to be Bush now.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretending to be Bush. I want to emphasize that. But, you know, he made a joke. You know, he was calling on the press corps, and he called on a woman named Suzanne, who we all knew was Suzanne Malveaux of CNN. And as Bush, he talked about, oh, you know, I'd love to get together with you, you know, maybe some music and a little date rape. You know about that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you don't know about that?
Mm-mm.
That was reported by Richard Prince in his journalism column. In fact, Rolling Stone even brought it up. Rolling mm-hmm. Stone, of all places, even brought it up when they interviewed him and Stephen Colbert for the cover of Rolling Stone.
And what did he say?
Well, I mean...
Did they confront it with him, or they just...
brought it up in the context of it being too far. And if I remember correctly, Stewart said, well, you know, it's really difficult not to go too far.
And I, you know, and the thing that I think I find disingenuous with that is that Stephen Colbert stood in front of George Bush and called him out. Okay, John Stewart would have never done that. John Stewart is very clear about the line that he will cross and what he won't cross.
So
to hear him saying it's very hard to say what's too far, there is a line that he's drawn. And he would never step over the line that Stephen Colbert did.
Well, Stewart did step over the line in terms of attacking his fellow talking heads on CNN. Now, I don't know, honestly, what Stewart would do in a situation with George Bush. Colbert was clear,
but
is playing a character.
But what I'm saying, though, Todd, is that watching Stewart's show, when he has the opportunity to go the direction, Stewart's show has gone from being a place where he was attacking the right to now he's trying to find equal balance in attacking both sides of it, and he has never gone as far as Colbert did with that. And again, I don't care what kind of character that you're playing. When you're standing next to George Bush and you calling him out, that's a brave thing to do.
It is a brave thing to do. And I guess what we're really talking about here, if we look at the pattern that's emerged just in this conversation, we're talking about the psychic freedom and I guess in many cases the psychic insecurity of white men who have public platforms, who have been given license by other white men to use their public platforms however they wish. So whether we're talking about Bill Maher, who can clearly say and do whatever he wants now that he's on cable, and, you know, he had a black girlfriend for 2 minutes. You remember her, Karen Stafford, Superhead. So he feels entitled. They all feel entitled. They all feel entitled. So,
but is that same entitlement, I mean, or is it that same entitlement that's born out of the racist history of this country? Isn't it a 2006 version of it?
I can only go by what they say. I mean, it's interesting how they use their entitlement. They use their entitlement to say whatever they want about people they oppose. So when a Michael Richards does this kind of rant, it only makes me think that, you know, those ideas, those words were implanted within him, and they were just given expression. I mean, he's still shocked by what he said.
Now, I think do you think he's shocked by what he said, or do you think that he's shocked that he's been caught on it? Because, remember, he went to work the next day at the comedy club to do the same thing. He didn't call in and say, is it okay if I come to work? He went on to work and they let him go on the stage.
Yes, he did.
So the question to me is the look on his face is one of, oh, damn, they got me on this, as opposed to, oh, man, I was wrong in saying that.
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I think he was angry. I think when people get angry who are apersonalities, they say things that they don't even hear, and I think what shocked him and surprised him was that he got a chance to see himself. And see, there's a symbolism there that we have to deal with. Alan had a chance to see himself calling a person of color a monkey. He also had a chance to find out, so-called found out during the campaign, that he's Jewish. So this denial that goes on, this denial of people in power over their behavior, over their duplicity, over their
But is it, Todd? Is it one of those things where, because one of those things, I can't get with that. I can't get that they actually saw themselves. To me, it seems more like, okay, like the kid that does something wrong and is embarrassed that everybody knows that he did something wrong, as opposed to being embarrassed and remorseful for having done it.
I think to those in power, that's a difference without a distinction. I think those in power think that they have a God-given right to be in power, and the shame forces them to examine their behavior. Now whether or not that shame comes from being caught or doing it, I mean, to them, it's not a difference. They're only forced to re-examine themselves when they get thrown up into public shame. I mean, we know
are
that
they,
in terms
are
of
they
the history of this country.
But are they re-examining themselves? Or are they just trying to get out of it? Get out of the pain of it?
I mean, again, we know this from history. I mean, we have a very cartoon almost version of the civil rights movement, the way the story is told.
Mm.
What is left out of the story of the civil rights movement is the fact that the civil rights movement took within the context of the Cold War, when the United States and the Soviet Union were trying to gather the rest of the world on their particular side. And what we forget is the fact that the civil rights movement shamed the United States when it was trying to gain the world and say, look, we stand for freedom. Don't stand with the Soviet Union. We stand for freedom. And the civil rights movement was in direct contradiction to that. And King knew it, and John Lewis knew it, and all of the people involved knew it, that the United States couldn't stand up for freedom and gain allies in the Cold War and lynch and rape African Americans at home.
Well, maybe we need a new word for shame. I'm talking to Todd Burrows, freelance journalist for the Crisis Magazine. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. Northbound 170 at Del Mar, the accident's been cleared. Expect residual delays around Eager Road. Westbound 40 at McKnight, there's an accident. Right lane's blocked. Reportedly a person struck. Traffic is slowing near McCausland. Westbound 70 at 5th Street, there's a disabled vehicle. Right lane's blocked, and it's backed up through Blanchette Bridge. Eastbound 70 between K and Zumbel, stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 270 between Sappington and Marshall, look for stop-and-go traffic as well. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 270, look for delays. Westbound 270 from Newhalls Ferry into Washington Elizabeth. Very heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from Ballast through McKnight. Slow traffic due to an accident in westbound lanes. You've got a lot of onlookers. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving slowly across the span into Laclede's Landing and northbound Route 3 from Queenie onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. This holiday season, give everyone on your list Missouri Lottery Scratchers. They're a great gift for them and easy gift for you. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Things change drastically in the next 48 hours. For today, breezy, cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, high in the upper 60s. This evening, cloudy. Another chance of showers and thunderstorms, low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, cloudy, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms as well. High is expected around 70. However, Wednesday evening, breezy, much colder. Occasional showers and thunderstorms, but the low drops into the mid-30s. Then on Thursday, blustery, much colder. Occasional rain in the morning, mixing with freezing rain and sleet by the afternoon. Accumulations are expected. The high will be in the mid-30s, but it will drop to the 20s by the afternoon. Then Thursday evening, colder, snow likely, and heavy snow accumulations are expected with a low in the lower 20s. Currently, we have 58 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 59, both under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Ellen. I'm with the Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis, and I invite you to tune in every Saturday evening at 9 p.m. for the Electric Shock Radio Hour. This program is dedicated to investigations and exposure of psychiatric abuses of human rights. Tune in and find out what's happening in our society and what you can do to help. That's the Electric Shock Radio Hour, 9 p.m. Saturday nights, here on WGNU.
For a look at the world news that matters most to you, tune in to AM 920, WGNU's global news updates, weekday mornings, 7:45, 8:45, and 9:45, weekday evenings at 6:45. Sponsored by Reasonable Construction, 314-382-2200.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Sil.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Todd Burrows, freelance journalist for The Crisis Magazine. He's joining us from the Washington, D.C. area. Todd, welcome back.
Welcome back, Liz. While we were on the break, I was just reading Richard Prince's journalism's column,
mm-hmm.
Which is part of the Maynard Institute, and I was just reading again about Baby Moore Campbell. Who I know that you knew died yesterday.
50-something years old.
Yeah, 58.
58?
58. She had brain cancer. She had brain cancer. And, you know, she's well known, of course, in the literary community for her wonderful novels, and she was also a great journalist.
She was a great journalist. Yes, she was.
Right,
yes,
right. So we definitely wanted to, you know, to take a moment for that, you know, new ancestor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was talking to a good friend of mine last night, continuing on with this conversation about Michael Richards, because I find it instructive. One of the things that we were talking about last night was the fact that Jerry Seinfeld went on David Letterman's show. Well, he was already scheduled to be on David Letterman's show.
Right.
And he decided to use some of his time on Letterman to allow his friend to talk.
Help his boy.
And my friend and I were talking last night, like, I don't know if that was as much of an act of friendship, but more of an act of he didn't want this to impact the sales, the anniversary sales of his DVDs.
Because what came out last week, Liz? New season of Seinfeld.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
On DVD. Interesting coincidence, don't you think?
And particularly since Seinfeld was there to talk about that coming out.
And Jesse Jackson has asked people not to buy it.
Yes, absolutely. Jesse Jackson has asked people not to buy it. And also, yesterday there was an amazing press conference held by Maxine Waters, who we love, and Jesse Jackson and others, saying that asking for rappers to stop using the N-word, and Mooney, Paul Mooney.
Mr. Paul Mooney,
who I couldn't listen to because he used the N-word all the time, has said that Michael Richards' racist rant was a Dr. Phil moment for him, and he'll never use the N-word again.
Now, see, that was the shocker for me, because, see, Mr. Paul Mooney, for those of us in the audience who may not know, Mr. Paul Mooney was the key writer for a young comic by the name of Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
And Mr. Paul Mooney and Mr. Pryor, who, by the way, would occasionally write for Sanford and Son, believe it or not, they made an incredible career, almost art, we might as well say, using this N-word.
Now, Paul Mooney said it made his teeth white.
he was. I saw him on CNN. He was really serious about that. And you know, it goes back again. See, we're talking about freedom of language here.
Mm-hmm.
See, now we have to go to the African American side of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to deal with some unpleasantries. African Americans have always been restricted from the moment they came to the shores and were not allowed to speak the African languages they had spoke. Our language has always been restricted. It has also been colonized. You know, part of the process of colonization is that even the thoughts you think are constrained within the boundaries that you've been given. So when you're given another language and you're told to destroy your language and you're given another language, you have been given a set of tools, a set of keys in which to think. So one of the deepest things about our colonization, about what happened with us, is that we are even restricted by this English language that we speak, because it's not our original language. It's not our conception. So even our conceptions to a point of view are restricted through white supremacy. As a result of that, we have used language in interesting ways, in some ways liberating ways, but in some ways, you know, kind of reinforcing the colonial restriction.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that, if this is making any sense, please let me know, part of that is this use of the N-word that we use as an intra-racial term that we use for ourselves. Now, other groups have words for themselves. However, those people have not been oppressed. And even if those people have been oppressed, they have not had the history that we've had of this country of people appropriating every cultural product that we produce for capitalism. So we've made an industry off of using intra-racial dialogue and using intra-racial conflicts. I mean, you know, even Chris Rock, I think he said that he maybe would not have done his Black People versus N-word, you know, routine today,
mm-hmm.
which of course was a classic routine. I mean, it was a classic
but it also
interracial dialogue that he put on the map in the mainstream throughout the whole world forever and ever. Amen.
Isn't that part of the evolution and the growth of individuals? Richard Pryor said after going to Africa that he was not going to use that word anymore.
Right.
Dave Chappelle went home to Africa and came back a changed man because of the things that he was doing. I suspect that those are some of the same things that are going on with the brother that the baby that wrote Boondocks. Because he's not doing the cartoon anymore, and if you watch the cartoon, it was amazing, the salt.
Well, no, he's still doing the cartoon.
He's
no longer doing the comic
right,
strip.
All right.
And he's recently said that he might bring it back online. But I understand your point. I mean, if we remember, you know, Dave Chappelle said that the beginning of the end for him was when he was doing some skits,
and he
just saw the whites in his crew just laughing a little bit too hard.
Yeah, the light went on like, they ain't laughing with me now.
They ain't laughing with me.
So,
exactly.
So getting to that, to me, it's a magical moment that someone like a Paul Mooney who just fought to say, I should be
That's
able
right.
to use the N-word, any
That's
dog,
right.
and then there are a bunch of cuss words in there
right.
about how he should be, for him to say, you know what? You know what? No, I am not going to do that anymore. That's an amazing thing.
I think it's because the intraracial colonization, the public intraracial colonization, has gone out of control. I mean, we know about N-word. We know about the B-word. Did you know that now, according to Howard University's Hilltop newspaper, that African Americans now, when they make fun of each other, when they rag on each other, they use the word coonin'. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Liz, they use the word coonin' to describe when someone acts out or acts crazy or does something dumb. Black people
Sweet.
At a black university
Sweet Lord.
Use the word Conan.
But isn't
now,
that
we could argue at a black university because of the intra-racial, context again. Because of the intra-racial context, we could argue that the students have the freedom to use certain words.
This isn't about freedom, though, Todd.
Well, is it about freedom or is it about this colonization?
It's about colonization. It's not about freedom.
You and I know what coon means.
Isn't this also about the fact that the generation before the babies got to Howard University, that we have been woefully inattentive to the type of education that our babies are getting? Isn't that some of that our fault?
Part of the colonization, Liz, is that we live in a country that historically people in Europe and other countries around the world have said that America has no real history and that it contains no real history. And America does its best through politics, through mass media, to pretend that we really don't have a historical continuum, that everything happens in a vacuum. So unless you watch PBS or unless you read books and watch C-SPAN, you don't even understand the history of the United States. So in that context, it is not surprising to hear oppressed people, young oppressed people, use words that they don't understand.
Also, maybe if we just took a look at where the majority of these young people that are attending Howard University, what kind of environments do they come out of? Did they come out of super integrated environments? Did they come out of largely white environments? How many of them are coming out of environments where they are the majority in their schools, in their classrooms?
Well, you act as if they were the majority, it would be something different.
That's my question.
Right.
And we got to take a break. I'm talking to Todd Burrows, freelance journalist for The Crisis Magazine. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Quito, Ecuador. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez could have another new ally in Latin America. Election officials are tallying votes from a presidential runoff in Ecuador, where leftist businessman Rafael Correa looks to be headed for victory. Correa has promised deep political reform, including a plan to rewrite Ecuador's constitution and opposition to a U.S. free trade pact. He has also said he will work with Washington, but opposes a U.S. military base in Ecuador and will not extend its contract when it ends in 2009. What could be even more troubling for U.S. officials is Correa's admiration for Venezuela's Chavez. He has praised Chavez's efforts for leftist integration in Latin America. Chavez has applauded Correa's apparent victory, saying, quote, "Each day we get more company." Earlier this month, leftist leader Daniel Ortega was elected president of Nicaragua. Ortega is seen as a close ally to Chavez. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi. This is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Todd Burrows. He's a freelance journalist for The Crisis Magazine. In the next hour, we will be talking with our friends from Jubilee. Neil Watkins will be joining us as we talk about debt cancellation. You don't want to miss that hour. And Todd, again, welcome back.
Thank you.
This Michael Richards issue.
I'm sticking with Michael Richards. I want to talk about the brother getting shot 50 times in New York.
Okay, we're going to stick with Michael Richards for a couple more minutes. Because we have a few more minutes left here. in terms of the press conference that was held yesterday with Maxine Waters and others, and Paul Mooney's, and in light of Paul Mooney's statement about his decision not to use the N-word, what do you see as any, do you see any additional ramifications of this? Do you see any additional impact of this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. People are having discussions. In fact, the National Association of Black Journalists, its media monitoring committee, was even talking about, well, you know, should we take a position on this? You know, as people who care about the colonization of words, but also, you know, versus people who are free speech advocates. I mean, you know, these are thorny issues which go to the core of the First Amendment and kind of put the First Amendment in opposition to the history of white supremacy, racism, colonization.
Is this a First Amendment issue?
It is a freedom of speech issue. I mean, the idea to use a word in public is a freedom of speech issue. Now,
but there are exceptions to that. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
Exactly, exactly. So is that N-word fire? I mean, this is a legitimate question.
I think that has been taught, has been litigated in some respects, and I think the N-word has been deemed. There are some words out there like that, and I think the N-word has been included in that, that it is fire.
Well, I think so, but see, here's the problem. We've had an entire generation now use that word in popular culture and in popular music.
But that's still not the same as a Michael Richards coming up to one of those people in there saying, you are in. That's a totally different conversation.
But see, let's talk about that. See, Michael Richards, the Michael Richards case is so clear because not only does he use the N-word as a white person, but he literally connects the N-word to the experience of lynching.
Yes, he does.
And see, that's what makes the Michael Richards thing so out of control, because he's not doing like Quentin Tarantino. He's not saying, I'm going to use this word so I can diffuse it of all his power.
Blah, blah, blah.
See Michael Richards, when Michael Richards says, "What you know, and this was back in the day, you'd be hung upside down.
I stick a fork up your rear.
Right.
You have a fork up your rear."
Mm-hmm. See that calls upon direct and specific, and frankly, quite detailed connection with lynching. So when he says and then goes into the lynching, that's a direct psychic connection to racism and white supremacy. It is harder though. For you to convince, let's say, a 15-year-old or 20-year-old white rap aficionado what that word is. Because the 15-year-old does not connect that word with lynching. He doesn't connect that word with all of the racist cartoons and movies and toys, and you remember all of that stuff, and food that people bought 100 years ago. He's hearing that word as a description of that's part of the music that he's listening to. And see, so that 15-year-old has a whole different conception of that word.
I believe that they have an option available to them that's
freedom.
But I still don't believe that that same 15-year-old would walk up to a black kid and call him that, a bunch of black folks, and call him that.
Because that 15-year-old has been taught that that's a word that they cannot use in public.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I don't think that any, I think that they believe that they have an option with the word that their parents didn't have, but I still believe that they understand what that word is, what that word means. They may not know the cartoons, they may not be able to identify the cartoons, but they know that that's a word that can get them in a whole lot of trouble, somebody could pop a cap in them over that word.
Yes.
They know that.
Yes, but the question then becomes, what happens to the generation after? Well, they know that. If everyone feels free to use every word, now remember, and we've also got to be clear on this part. Why is it that this word can be used by anybody in public? A black rapper, a white comedian, okay?
And that's why I buy
And no other slur on no other group of people, with the exception maybe of Latinos, can be used without there being an incredible outcry. It is because, obviously, the question of power.
Mm-hmm.
When Michael Jackson, as you remember a few years ago, he recorded a song in which he went after all the words,
mm-hmm.
and he used all the words,
mm-hmm.
the outcry from the Jewish community was so strong, he hurried up and edited that part out, because he was dealing with people who had power. White people know that black people do not have the power to punish white people for anything they do.
I mean, collectively, in terms of outside of a face-to-face confrontation.
Outside of somebody getting their kicked, right.
Yeah.
Okay. And even then, you know, like for instance, you know, I think the black people in that audience knew that if they stepped to Michael Richards, they'd be stepping to Michael Richards, and they would go to jail.
Well, actually, he said that. He said that. One of the things that he said on the stage, that one of the last things that he talked about, is that tomorrow morning I'll wake up, I'll still be white, I'll still be rich,
right,
and I'll still be on this stage.
And that was, and he was, and yeah. he was.
Mm.
And so, see, we have to be honest in terms of the power relationships between oppressed people and white people. And one of the rules is that I'm white, I will say and do whatever I want to you, and you will take it, because if you step to me, then you will end up like, you know, we can pick somebody, the Black Panthers, you know, well, we can pick whoever, Martin Luther King, whatever. You will end up like that. See, one of the things that, you know, to go back to the psyche, I used to think that African Americans were ignorant of the history of the Civil Rights Movement and the Black Power Movement. I no longer think that. I think that the Civil Rights Movement and the Black Power Movement is ingrained in the DNA of African Americans. So I think that the decisions they've made in terms of embracing capitalism, in terms of not pulling a Dixie Chicks, let's say, I think that they've made those choices very consciously, because I think they've learned what will happen if you challenge power, even verbally. I mean, we're not even talking about Martin Luther King trying to shut down Washington, D.C. to get an equal distribution of wealth. We're talking about even verbally. If I confront you, I know what the consequences are.
I'm not, and we only have a couple of minutes, and I'm not sure that I necessarily agree with that.
Okay.
I'm not sure that I agree with that, because I look at the Kanye West out here.
And he was scared to death.
He was scared, but he said it.
But he was scared to death.
And the Dixie Chicks weren't scared?
The Dixie Chicks thought they were Americans and thought they could speak about their president.
Mm-hmm. And have they said it again?
No, but you know what? They're not sorry, and they say so.
Mm-hmm. And neither is Kanye West.
No.
So,
but only one of them was scared. That's my point. Only one of them made a film and made an album that said, "We're not sorry."
Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
Mm-hmm. I guess, and doggone it, we only have a couple minutes left here, so we're going to have to leave it at that, Todd.
Sure,
we need to have some more of this conversation.
But look, I enjoyed this hour of freedom of speech.
Me too. Todd Rose, thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I will be back. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. He says he's on a mission to promote understanding and reconciliation, but the reception is not completely warm for Pope Benedict, who arrived today in Turkey. ABC's David Wright has more from Ankara.
Security is very tight here, tighter even than when President Bush came to visit in 2004. Roads have been blocked. Thousands of police deployed, some in riot gear, and patrols positioned on the waterway, snipers positioned on the rooftops. The Vatican seems to take the threat seriously as well. Benedict is not going to be using the Pope Mobile. Instead, he's driving in a heavily armored car.
Turkey is largely Muslim, and there are many who are angry about some recent comments made by the Pope they feel were critical of Islam. President Bush is in Latvia, site of the NATO summit. He says he's looking forward to the meeting and has a message for the leaders there.
The threat has changed. Our capabilities must change with the threats if NATO is to remain relevant.
ABC's Ann Compton is traveling with the president.
For little Latvia, this NATO summit is big. It is bringing in 9 presidents, 15 prime ministers, 1 chancellor. They will all get hand-knitted souvenir mittens. But local craftsmen were told to leave off the traditional Latvian good luck symbol. It looks too much like a swastika.
The president meets with met earlier today with the American-educated Estonian president. Ford's told tens of thousands of employees, time's up, you take an early leave from the company or you risk future layoffs.
Carol Howie is a Ford worker. She is taking the buyout.
My biggest reason is my age, and I'm ready for retirement.
Ford is betting that up to 30,000 workers will do the same. The decision deadline has passed. Ford is also literally betting the farm to survive, putting up its factories and all of its assets as collateral for $18 billion in financing. That's 12 times the amount in loan guarantees the government gave Chrysler in a bailout nearly 30 years ago. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
Today's guest stylist is Lance. He's taking us to Kohl's 50% off sale, which is this Tuesday and Wednesday.
Winter white is stunning this year. Look for it in cream sweaters and hats, gloves and scarves, like I'm seeing throughout the store. See? Clean and elegant. And nothing looks more winter wonderland indoors than white accented with gold or silver.
Magical choices at Kohl's 50% off sale. Save 50% on styles for you and your home this Tuesday from 8 a.m. to midnight and Wednesday from 7 a.m. to midnight at Kohl's. Expect great things.
I'm a mother of 3, and I'm just beginning a whole new career. I'm enjoying this part of my life every bit as much as when I was winning 18 Grand Slam tennis titles. And with delicious new CitraCal Creamy Bites, I even enjoy taking the calcium I need to help prevent osteoporosis. I'm Chris Everett. I'm 51, and I am strong.
Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. Citrical Calcium. Stand strong.
Well, if this doesn't get you into the holiday spirit, nothing probably will. The house that was used in the classic movie A Christmas Story is open for tours. Here's ABC's Chuck Sieverson.
I want an official Red Ryder Cub action 2-inch airwings of all eras.
No, shoot your eye out.
Brian Jones of San Diego wanted to be a Navy pilot. When his eyesight prevented that, his parents sent him a leg lamp, like the one in A Christmas Story, and suggested he could probably make them and sell them.
I triple dog dare you!
Jones sold 500. When the Cleveland house used in the movie was on sale on eBay, Jones bought it. Between the purchase price and restoration, Jones says he's put in about $500,000 bucks, and it's open as a museum.
Oh, blast it!
Hope the furnace works okay. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Forget Valentine's Day. We are in the peak engagement season. And, guys, if you're thinking about popping the question, most women say they'd rather get a romantic proposal than a big gaudy ring. And private is better than public. No declarations on the Jumbotron. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
From the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, authorities continue to investigate a deadly fire at a Southwest Missouri assisted living facility. The fire at the Anderson Guest House early yesterday morning killed 10 people and injured 24 more. Staff member Glenn Taff and residents Amy Brown, Nathan Fisher, Patricia Henson, Brian Rudnick, Don Shoresman, Alta Lemons, and Isaiah Joyce were among those killed. The names of two other victims haven't been released. The fire is being treated as suspicious. A ruling granting a Missouri death row inmate a new trial will stand. The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday declined to hear the state's appeal of the ruling in Vincent McFadden's case. McFadden was convicted of the 2002 murder of Todd Franklin, but the state Supreme Court threw out that conviction earlier this year, saying prosecutors removed potential jurors because of their race. McFadden received another death sentence in May for the 2003 murder of Leslie Addison. Finally this hour, the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department is stepping up traffic enforcement on specific roadways in Hillsboro this week. The traffic enforcement unit began extra focus on Flucom, East Flucom, Highway 67, and Victoria Road yesterday. Lieutenant Patrick Hawkins explains the purpose of this initiative.
Our traffic enforcement unit is a very aggressive, proactive type enforcement unit. And what we do is each week we select a different set of roadways and we do what we call a primary enforcement detail on those roadways during the particular week that we pick.
Officers will be on the lookout for any hazardous moving violations, including running stop signs, speeding, or driving while intoxicated. The extra traffic enforcement will run through Sunday. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. This holiday season, give everyone on your list Missouri Lottery Scratchers. They're a great gift for them and an easy gift for you. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I am Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sears Auto Center. Westbound 40 McKnight, there's an accident reported, a person being struck and two right lanes are closed. Traffic is slowing near Kings Highway. Southbound 270 at Olive, there's an accident that's been cleared. Residual delays are back from McKelvey, and they're easing up at this hour. Eastbound 70 onto the ramp to southbound 270, an accident to right shoulder. Northbound 270 onto the ramp to Gravelway. There's an incident that's been cleared from an earlier stall, but you can expect some delays this hour. Eastbound 70 at 79 in Hawks Nest, look for slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Tessound Ferry and 44, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry into Washington Elizabeth, you can expect heavy delays there. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and McKnight, look for slow traffic due to an accident in westbound lanes, and it's causing an awful lot of onlookers. Northbound 55 from Loughborough to Bates, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, expect delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow mid-span into downtown, and northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the approach of the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays at the top of that ramp. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sears Auto Centers. Give yourself the gift of tires right now. Get the lowest price on the year on Michelin tires only at Sears Auto Centers. Exclusions apply. See store for detail. Offer ends 12/24/06, Christmas Eve. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday, a lot of things are going to change in the next couple of days. Breezy day, cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, high in the upper 60s. This evening, cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, low in the mid-50s. For Wednesday, cloudy, chance of showers, high around 70. And then Wednesday evening, things change, much colder, breezy, occasional showers, lows in the mid-30s. Then on Thursday, blustery, much colder, occasional rain in the morning, mixing with freezing rain and sleet by the afternoon. Significant accumulations are expected. The highs will be in the mid-30s, but they will be dropping into the 20s by the afternoon. And Thursday evening, colder, snow likely, heavy snow accumulations are possible with a low in the lower 20s. Currently, we have partly cloudy skies, 58 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to attend to. An issue that we have talked about on this show previously is the issue of debt. We've talked about the issue of debt and its impact on nations. And we've talked about the campaign to eliminate the debt that has been forced upon so many nations. Well, we have some, I believe, some good news
coming out of some decisions about the debt of some Latin American economies out here. And we need to talk to Neil Watkins, who is the National Coordinator with Jubilee USA Network. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Neil, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Good news?
Pretty good news, yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, well, last week the Inter-American Development Bank, which is one of the most important banks that loans money to countries in Latin America, after a number of years of putting pressure on this bank to do debt cancellation, agreed in principle to cancel the debt of five Latin American countries, which would mean about $2 billion in debt cancellation. They still have to work out the details, but this is sort of a breakthrough in which many of the governments finally came to an agreement on this.
Now, sometimes the debt is canceled depending upon what the countries are willing to do in terms of changing their economy, changing the way that business is done. What are some of the are there those types of conditions attached to this cancellation?
Yeah, well, in the case of the five countries that are going to benefit, it's Nicaragua, Honduras, Guyana, Bolivia, and Haiti. And in the case of everybody but Haiti, these countries will benefit almost right away. They're proposing that they will see debt cancellation actually delivered in January of 2007. But all those countries have spent the last 8 years basically qualifying to receive this debt cancellation. So they've had to implement those conditions on their economy where they have to privatize industry, where they have to, you know, open up their markets to foreign competition, sometimes before those economies are ready or before that makes sense, where they have to basically cut their budget, their government spending on key social sectors so that they can look attractive to foreign investors. So they've already gone through all those conditions. But at the end of that, in January, these four countries will actually get cancellation. Unfortunately, Haiti, the poorest country in the hemisphere and a country we've talked about a lot before, actually will have to wait another 1 or 2 years to see its debt cancellation while it goes through further conditions because it hasn't reached what's called completion point in this debt relief initiative. So good news for the countries, but for Haiti, we're going to have to keep struggling quite a bit here.
But do you think that, I don't know, election results in some of these countries had something to do with it?
Well, there's certainly been, you know, certainly been a change in government across Latin America, and I think, you know, part of this is really responding to that need, and I think creditors are saying, gosh, we've got to do something to change the dynamic of poverty in Latin America.
We'll be back. I'm talking to Neil Watkins. He's the National Coordinator with Jubilee USA Network. My name is Liz Brown. We're talking about debt cancellation. Stay with us. Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time, it's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
It's not the pale moon that excites me. The thrills and delights me. Oh no, yes, just an endless you. It is your sweet conversation.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm talking this morning to the National Coordinator with Jubilee USA Network, Neil Watkins, and we're talking about debt cancellation. And, Neil, okay, the Inter-American Development Bank has made a decision to cancel the debt of Bolivia. Can you do a little background for us? Can you talk to us about how that debt came to be, and is there a consistency amongst nations of how the debt came to be and why it's so important to cancel this out?
Sure. I mean, the situation of debt in Latin America really is similar to the burden of debt that you see in Africa, in South Asia, in impoverished countries across the globe. In a lot of cases, these debts were run up by previous periods of dictatorship. So in the case of a country like Nicaragua, which is one of the countries that benefits from this debt cancellation, a significant portion of their debt was actually accrued by the Somoza dictatorship in the years from 1970 to 1980. That was a dictatorship which didn't allow free assembly, didn't allow elections, you know, et cetera. They borrowed from international markets, from the Inter-American Development Bank, and that debt has been on Nicaragua's books.
I mean, shouldn't we also just kind of like just reflect a second on the fact that a man like that was able to borrow money, and a country like Haiti is having, you know, when President Aristide was there, he couldn't borrow the same kind of money that a dictator could.
Exactly. You know, it just reveals that questions of borrowing, lending, debt, all these things are really, certainly they're financial questions, but ultimately they're political questions as well, and they're questions about power and who's in favor and who's not in favor of the creditors that really control the international financial institutions. So, I mean, that's why you see Aristide having such a hard time getting loans from the Inter-American Development Bank, even though Haiti, you know, is desperate for basically any sort of funding to fight desperate poverty there.
And the democracy that brought Aristide into power was unprecedented in Haiti.
Right, right. And yeah, exactly. But you see, contrasting to that, you know, throughout the 80s, throughout the 70s, in countries like Haiti, in countries like Nicaragua, lending to these much more oppressive, much more unrepresentative governments. And so, you know, we call a lot of these debts really odious or illegitimate debts. That is that, you know, countries should not even have to pay these debts because they weren't accrued to benefit the people in the country in the first place. And when you have those sorts of debts, you know, when you talk about debt relief as a generous initiative or something that is really just, you know, generosity from the creditors, it really isn't. It's really a matter of justice and righting of relationships.
And we've even heard the request made from the current administration here in our country that Iraq's debt be canceled.
Yeah, in fact, that was, you know, the United States government lobbied vociferously. They sent James Baker, now, you know, over trying to fix the policy in Iraq. About 3 years ago, he was also trying to fix the policy in Iraq. He was trying to fix Iraq's debt situation. And, you know, with a lot of energy, came to an agreement that most of Iraq's creditors will write off Iraq's external debt, more than $100 billion.
Mm.
You know, I mean, a huge amount of money. If you look at the debt of a country like Haiti, that's $1 billion. You know, but we're haggling with Haiti and telling them, you know, well, you can have that, you know, 2 years from now after you've gone through all these really difficult economic policies, you know, if you're good. But, you know, we tell Iraq, you know, you can have that now. Now, I shouldn't underestimate that the Bush administration did actually put a lot of conditions on Iraq, and Iraq has had to privatize industry, it's had to, you know, bust up trade unions, et cetera. So it hasn't been easy for Iraq either, but certainly it's been an easier track than some of the poorest countries.
What happens when debt is canceled? Does it work?
Well, we do. I mean, you know, that's one of the good things about debt cancellation. One of the reasons we fight for it so much is that we now have a record of about 10 years of limited debt relief that actually is working. We're seeing especially in countries in the African continent. In Ghana, you've seen money saved from debt relief being used for basic infrastructure, as well as more money for health and education.
Ghana's being pointed to as one of the bright stars.
Exactly. And you know, Ghana has actually made a lot of improvements. I would argue not because they've submitted to all the, you know, the dictates of the IMF and World Bank, but because they have a, you know, fairly good government, a vibrant civil society, which has really pushed to get money used to actually invest in healthcare and education. Tanzania, you have a similar situation. We've been able to achieve universal primary education in Tanzania partly because of debt relief. But it doesn't always work. We have to be careful because if you just provide debt cancellation, but you don't address the conditions attached to the loans, you're in essence giving with one hand and taking away with the other.
Give an example, please.
Well, I was actually just in Nicaragua, in Central America 2 weeks ago on a delegation and met with a number of organizations that are challenging the IMF conditions in Nicaragua. And one of the places we went was to the public hospital in Managua. It's a hospital called Hospital Lenin Fonseca. And it's really a shocking sight. We got a tour of the hospital. We saw 150 people waiting in line to see a doctor. You know, we were told they might get to see a doctor today. They might have to wait another day. Some of these people in really serious pain. We were taken through the halls to the place where they do all the tests for people who are in the hospital. And it was literally a room, if you can imagine what your high school sort of science classroom looked like, with a few test tubes here and there, no fancy equipment. In fact, many high school science classrooms these days might look better than this lab for this entire hospital, which must, you know, have 500 people in it. And it was just because, you know, they didn't have access to resources to, you know, sufficiently fund this major national public hospital. And the reason for that is that the International Monetary Fund in Nicaragua has said you have to keep your government spending below a certain part of your economy. And so as a result, Nicaragua can't spend money on health or education or clean water, even though there's just desperate, desperate needs. So, you know, the lesson there is Nicaragua's seen debt relief, but it hasn't actually seen a huge change because they're still having to meet all these requirements from the International Monetary Fund.
And what if Nicaragua said, you know what, we're not going to do that anymore?
Well, you know, it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago there was an election in Nicaragua.
Yes.
People saw that a man named Daniel Ortega,
yes,
a name from the 80s, you know, was elected president. And you know, in Nicaragua they're not sure if Mr. Ortega, you know, is the same Ortega he used to be. You know, they think he's become, more part of the normal power structure in Nicaragua. But even if he wanted to do some things to help social development in the country, and I think many people, you know, think that he probably does. His hands are very much tied. You know, the IMF says to him, you know, you need to stay on track with our program. You know, that's the language they use.
What's the or part of this, Neil?
What's the what?
The or?
Well, the or is basically, in the global economy, the IMF either gives you a green light and it says you are on track with our program, or they give you a yellow light or a red light. And when they give you that red light, it's not on a website, it's not up in the central square, this light, but it's an informal sort of way that they indicate to other lenders and other development agencies, you know, Nicaragua is not following our advice, so don't give them money. So if the IMF says you're not following our advice, then USAID, you know, our development agency, the Inter-American Development Bank, all these other creditors will suddenly, hold back their own lending. And right now, Nicaragua is very dependent on those external flows of money. It would also scare off foreign investors. There's a huge maquiladora sector in Nicaragua where women largely make very, you know, for very low wages, clothes for the American and other markets. And you know, the IMF can say, well, if you don't do what we'll say, then, you know, we'll basically put the red light up and scare away that investment and scare away those new loans that might come in. So they have a tremendous amount of power.
So let me ask this question. What is the Hugo Chavez influence in this?
Well, you know, Hugo Chavez is playing a role in Latin America because he has access to, you know, a lot of money from the oil that Venezuela has. You know, he's being able to play a financial role and able to make loans or even give oil at discounted rates to many countries. In fact, 2 weeks ago when I was in Nicaragua, a big story in the news was that Chavez had basically sent some cheap oil to Nicaragua via the mayors in the country. He had distributed it straight to the mayors so that they could avoid increasing the cost of public transportation by providing this cheap oil subsidy.
That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, so that was something that many people in Nicaragua were very, you know, excited about, because they're having to pay, you know, they would have had to pay more to go to work every day. That would have eaten out of already really tiny money. About, you know, more than 60% of Nicaraguans live on less than $2 a day.
And so, distributing that to the mayors was done for what reason?
Well, because the government now, and the government for the past, I guess it's about 16 years in Nicaragua, has been conservative. Right now it's President Enrique Bolaños who has been, you know, basically agreed to every single thing that the IMF suggested that they do, didn't challenge at all sort of the economic orthodoxy. So the central government wouldn't take it, you know, but he was able to work through some of the mayors who were more willing to accept the funds.
We're going to continue our conversation with the national coordinator with Jubilee USA Network, Neil Watkins. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Centrum Vitamins. Westbound 40 at McKnight, there's an accident reported. A person struck. Two right lanes are closed. Traffic is slowing near Kings Highway at this hour. Eastbound 70 at 270, there's an accident. Right lane is blocked. Eastbound 70 between 370 and Zumbel. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Sappington through Marshall, it is stop and go. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry through Washington Elizabeth, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and McKnight, look for slow traffic due to an accident in the westbound lanes. You've got a lot of onlookers there. Westbound 5570 between Route 3 and the Poplar Street Bridge, look for some delays. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at Monsanto and Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Centrum Vitamins. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients that bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Breezy, cloudy, chance of showers today, high in the upper 60s this evening. Cloudy, chance of showers with a low in the upper 50s Wednesday. Cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, high around 70. Then Wednesday evening, it all changes. Much colder, breezy, occasional showers and thunderstorms, but the high will only be in the mid-30s. Then on Thursday, much colder, blustery, occasional rain in the morning, then freezing rain and sleet in the afternoon. Ice accumulations are expected, then high in the mid-30s, but it'll be falling to the 20s by the afternoon. Wednesday or Thursday evening, colder, snow likely, and heavy snow accumulations are possible with a low in the lower 20s. Currently, we have partly cloudy skies and 58 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is Alan Brady. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. My guest at this hour is Neil Watkins. He's the National Coordinator with Jubilee USA Network. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Neil, welcome back.
Thank you.
Talk to us about the IMF.
Well, I mean, the IMF is the International Monetary Fund. It's an international organization. It's based here in Washington and was founded back in 1944 with a goal really of providing international financial stability. It was the guarantor of the gold standard, linking currencies around the world to gold, which was abandoned in 1973. And since then, it's taken on a mandate really beyond its initial mandate, in which it's basically involved in almost every country in the world. And as I sort of gave examples earlier, has a really strong influence in some of the most impoverished countries in the world. It has influence over basically what these countries establish as their economic policy. And to organizations like ours, we're concerned about that because, A, we think it's not the most democratic institution in the world, to say the least. And B, we think really that it doesn't have a development mandate. It's not an organization who has lots of staff who are thinking about how does a very poor country develop itself? How does it invest in education? How does it invest in healthcare? The IMF is rather focused on macroeconomic stability. It wants to reassure foreign investors. So our argument is, you know, this institution does not need to play the leading role that it does in the development of especially the most impoverished countries in the world. And really, in recent years, the IMF itself is suffering a crisis of legitimacy, and that more and more countries, most recently the country of Uruguay, have decided to pay the IMF back in full and then just stop really taking its advice because, you know, they've been doing this long enough. So there is a growing movement of countries across the globe that are saying, okay, thanks, here's your money, we're done, we're going to go ahead and try our own thing. And I think that's a trend you're going to see continue.
Are we now starting to hear the IMF use the debt cancellation phrase? Are they incorporating that into its policies now?
Well, yes, and the IMF, under pressure from Jubilee, from other groups all across the globe, was forced to provide 100% cancellation.
Because that never was part of their mandate.
That's right. That's right. And that was really a struggle to get them to do that. And, you know, so far there are about 22 countries that have seen their debts fully canceled to the IMF. The problem is, even after those debts are canceled, we're still seeing the IMF making new loans to those countries. So when they make the new loans, the country still remains that relationship of you know, having to implement the conditions. It's very hard for a very poor country especially to say no to the IMF, but more middle-income countries like Argentina or Uruguay have a little more space because they're bigger, they're more powerful, and they are beginning to declare, you know, some form of independence. Another really interesting news story over the weekend, if you saw it, was the election in Ecuador in Latin America as well. And voters there appear to have overwhelmingly selected this man, Rafael Correa, who is he's an economist, he's a progressive economist, and in a previous government, he had a public fight with the IMF. The IMF was saying Ecuador needed to spend basically 70% of its revenue in order to pay back debt, and Correa said, no, actually, we'd like to spend that much on social spending, on health care and education. And in the end, he actually had to resign because that was such a controversial policy that the IMF and World Bank didn't like.
And now he's in charge.
And now he's president. And what he's been saying in his campaign is he's actually used the word illegitimate debt in his campaign and said that much of Ecuador's debt is illegitimate. And he stated that, you know, they're considering not honoring some of those illegitimate debts. Right now, there's actually an audit going on in Ecuador. The Congress there is doing a study of which debts that Ecuador accrued in the past are actually legitimate and should be paid and are actually not. And so it's really an interesting and exciting place, you know, to be right now in terms of this debt dynamic.
And in terms of a country like Haiti, Neil, what is it about Haiti that it just seems like the world has an obsession with keeping Haiti completely, absolutely impoverished?
Yeah, it is really.
It's an obsession, isn't it?
I hate to say it, but it's true, and it's really sad because, I mean, this is, you know, a country that actually, at this point, after, you know, so many years of struggle and so many problems, you know, actually does seem to have, you know, some opportunity with the recent election, with René Préval in government, you know, clearly the popular choice, you know, trying to make things right, trying to turn things around. But in the case of debt, you know, they're being told basically, you know, they have this $1 billion debt, which is just not a lot of money.
It's chump change.
But for Haiti, it's huge. You know, they're sending, in the past few years, they've been sending $100 million a year in debt payments out of the country. And $100 million a year in Haiti would go, you know, just a tremendous way to addressing health, education, social needs.
Well, so, wait a minute. I just thought of something. Oprah Winfrey could pay for the debt. Of Haiti. Could pay off the debt of Haiti.
Who could?
Oprah Winfrey.
Well, that's true.
Because she's worth more than $1 billion, isn't she? I mean,
right,
she could actually pay off the debt of that entire country.
That's probably true. Yeah, it is true. But, you know, the reason they won't budge on this is because they have these, you know, these systems where you have to qualify through the Heavily Indebted Poor Countries Initiative. You have to do what's called a poverty reduction strategy paper, which sounds really good, but if you look at the details, it includes a lot of the failed conditions we've seen in the past. And the creditors don't want to, you know, just say Haiti can have it because then other countries might, you know, God forbid, move more quickly to debt cancellation and not implement, you know, these policies along the way. Now, we've been doing a campaign along with a number of other groups working on Haiti over the past year to say, look, Haiti needs debt cancellation now. They're, you know, we just need to make an exception. We need to do it now. It can't wait. So as a result, we actually think they're moving faster. You know, they've already in 6 months moved from one stage to the next in the process, which sometimes takes as long as 3 or 4 years. And the World Bank is saying, well, you know, they could get to the next step in a year or two, you know, which is shorter than it usually takes, which is 3 years. But we're still saying, you know, a year or two is, you know, not a luxury that Haiti has to wait. And working with the Office of Representative Maxine Waters from California, who's been a great champion on debt relief, who's introduced a resolution in the U.S. House of Representatives calling for immediate cancellation of Haiti's debt. They should not have to go through these extra years of conditions. And there are already more than 60 co-sponsors in the House. It's not going to pass this session, but Representative Waters is planning to reintroduce it in January and push there.
Well, and so let's talk. Let's come home and talk about the politics in this country, and its impact on debt cancellation. What is the role of our government with the IMF?
Well, I mean, our government really basically calls the shots at the IMF. It's the single largest shareholder, so. The United States on the IMF's board of directors has 18% of the vote, and that's the single largest share. So when the U.S. decides to do something, you know, certainly they have to convince other countries, but they really do have a strong voice. In the United States, the representative to the IMF is appointed by the Secretary of the Treasury, so it comes from the executive branch. So. You know, the Bush administration largely sets the U.S. policy at the IMF. However, like any executive position, there is oversight from Congress. And so in the House, that's the House Financial Services Committee. In the Senate, that's the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. So in 2007, with the new Congress, you know, we hope to work with some of those new Congress members who have been supportive on debt relief, who have been supportive of challenging these conditions.
Well, there's a socialist in the United States Senate.
Right, Bernie Sanders, exactly. In fact, Bernie Sanders has been very, very good on the IMF issue. But you have, for example, the chair of the most important committee on debt and the International Monetary Fund in the House in 2007 will be Barney Frank, who's a Democrat from Massachusetts, who has been an initial co-sponsor of our debt legislation in the past and, you know, has been very strong on questions of debt and structural adjustment. So, you know, it's a good sign that at least we can have a debate, we hope, between the Congress and the administration about some of these policies.
And in terms of making a comparison with the Clinton administration and the current administration in terms of the issue of debt cancellation, is there much difference between the two administrations?
Well, to be honest, not really, and one might argue that the Bush administration has actually been better.
That's a phrase you don't hear often.
Yeah, and you know, it's because it's for a lot of different reasons, but the Clinton administration supported limited and conditional debt relief. The Bush administration has at least moved to this idea of 100% debt cancellation, though they still support all the conditions.
Mm.
So it's on this issue, it's really hard to see one side or the other as the clear better, but you know, we work with both of them and give them both, you know, the same message.
We're talking with Anil Watkins. He's the national coordinator with Jubilee USA Network. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Tallinn, Estonia. White House officials are rejecting the idea that the war in Iraq has deteriorated into a civil war. President Bush's national security advisor says the growing sectarian fighting has entered, quote, a new phase. Stephen Hadley's reaction came after UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said Iraq is on the verge of civil war. NBC News announced it would now use that term in reporting on the growing death toll in sectarian violence. Dateline Baghdad. An Iraqi journalist is saying the pilot of a downed American F-16 is dead. The journalist says he shot video of the wreckage near Fallujah. The crash of a jet fighter has been confirmed by the U.S. military in Iraq, but few other details are being offered. Two Iraqi militant groups have taken to the internet to declare they are responsible for bringing down the fighter jet. Their postings claim that the downing was in retaliation for the killing of 10 Iraqis that they blame on the U.S. Army. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate, 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm having a conversation this morning with Neil Watkins, the National Coordinator with Jubilee USA Network. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. And, Neil, when we look ahead to the year 2007, and in terms of debt cancellation, is there a priority list that your organization has? What would be the nation of number one concern for you all?
Well, it's actually 2007 is an important year in work for debt cancellation. As you know, the Jubilee concept is actually a biblical concept. It comes from the Bible, from Scripture, from the Hebrew Scriptures, in which every 50 years is a Jubilee year in which debts are to be canceled, in which right relationships are to be restored. If you look at the Scripture, there's also what's known as the Sabbath year, and every 7 years is supposed to be a Sabbath year. So if Jubilee 2000 was in 2000, 2007 would be the Sabbath year. So as part of that initiative, we're launching a Sabbath year campaign, and our goal is really to say we think our government, we think world leaders should look at this idea of the Sabbath and to expand debt cancellation to all those countries that need it to meet global poverty goals, the Millennium Development Goal. So our main priority next year is to work on a piece of legislation called the Jubilee Act, which will be reintroduced in early 2007, and it will call for debt cancellation for all those countries that need it to fight poverty. Some of the focus countries we're going to be working on really hard next year include Haiti, and it includes Liberia, because these are two countries which are basically stuck in the strings of debt relief already. So we're going to be doing work while we build for that broader Jubilee Act to also ensure that we see full debt cancellation for Haiti as soon as possible. And similarly for Liberia, you know, a country in Africa which has recently recovered from years of civil war, has a huge debt burden, but again is being told, much like Haiti, you know, you have to wait a few years, you have to wait several years, get your economy in order before you can see that debt relief. So those will be some of our focuses.
When we take a look at the economic policies that the IMF insists that countries that take their money engage in, have there been studies on the success or failure of those particular programs, and which program has been the worst?
Yeah, well, there certainly have been studies. The IMF and World Bank over the years have tried to find examples of countries that have followed, you know, their advice and that have had some success. For a while, they called Ghana, you know, sort of their example of, wow, if you just follow our advice, you can too be like Ghana. So if you talk with organizations, civil society organizations on the ground in Ghana, you know, they've seen growth, and that's how the IMF and World Bank measure success, economic growth. But you still haven't seen that turnaround in terms of health investment, in terms of education investment that you really need there to fight poverty. So part of it is the indicator of growth being the main determinant of what is success. But even if you use their own indicators, there's a great study done by a group called Center for Economic and Policy Research, which is here in Washington, and they looked at the growth rates for sub-Saharan Africa and for Latin America over the past 25 years. And that's about the period the IMF and World Bank have had their strongest influence in Africa and Latin America. And in Africa, they actually found negative per capita income growth over that 25-year period. Now, if you think about what that means, it means that a person has less income today than they did 25 years ago. And this is in a region, the average person in Africa, and this is in a region where there needs to be a tremendous investment. That income ought to be growing 2 and 3 times. And, you know, really, you have to look at what has been the economic policy on that continent for the past 25 years. And it really has been the policies of the IMF and World Bank. So
Africa was kind of like the blank slate for the IMF to paint upon.
Yeah, and certainly in the 1980s, you had those very harsh structural adjustment policies, which just slashed, you know, investment in education and healthcare. And while they don't do that as directly anymore, the legacy of those cuts continues to really undermine public health, access to education in sub-Saharan Africa.
And in terms of public awareness of the debt cancellation issue, where are we from 2000?
Well, I think there's a much broader public awareness in part because of some of the very public campaigns from Jubilee 2000, you know, from the celebrities like Bono and others who have been promoting, you know, the call for debt cancellation and greater aid. But we're still not at the place where, you know, this is sort of a household issue, and that's, you know, or something that's more people know about, enough people know about to really force this onto the agenda in Washington. So that's where we come in. What we're trying to do is educate more people about the crisis of debt, the IMF and World Bank, because really it's Americans that can make a difference because we're the strongest voice in these institutions.
The majority voice.
Yeah. If we can make our voices known to our decision makers that they need to change what they're doing in these institutions, we can really change policy.
Now, we've talked about Africa. We've talked about Latin America, Central America. Does this a people of color issue? Do these actions seem to impact and affect countries of color?
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a case where, you know, there's this idea of global apartheid, right? Where you have a system where, you know, you have some of the wealthiest, you know, and most of the time coming from largely Caucasian or white population countries that have the most power, that control the international financial institutions, and, you know, the sort of victims of this global apartheid tend to be people of color and, you know, people of color majority nations. So I think there's definitely, you know, that element to it.
How about Asia? Do we see the same thing happening in Asia?
Very similar. I mean, you have countries like, for example, Sri Lanka, which was devastated by the tsunami, has a huge, huge debt burden, but has not yet qualified for the debt relief initiatives.
How could they not have qualified?
So in countries like Indonesia, which has a huge, more than $100 billion in debt, much of it accrued during the time of the dictator Suharto, much of it, you know, sort of loans that were given to Suharto, which he used for military equipment, which, you know, fueled human rights abuses, et cetera. But that debt is still on the books, and Indonesia is still having to pay those debts. So it's definitely not just a problem in Africa and Latin America.
And in terms of the new Congress, how hopeful are you with some changes will be made?
Well, we're optimistic. We think that that at least, you know, with a change in sort of committee control, that this will at least allow us to have a good debate on the issues in Congress. And we're hopeful that in the Sabbath year, as we increase our capacity and get more people of faith and conscience across the United States contacting a member of Congress, that we can actually achieve our goal of a real hearing on this question of the Jubilee Act, of a broad and bold Jubilee cancellation of debts by the end of 2007.
Where can people go to find out more about your organization?
You can check out our website, which is at www.jubileeusa.org.
Neil Watkins, National Coordinator with Jubilee USA Network, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you again.
It was a pleasure. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I just want to remind you, that we have the blanket drive coming up. The blanket drive is on December 15th. Go out there and get your blankets, your $5 blankets. Remember, we buy them new, $5. You can go to the dollar store. You can go to Kmart. You can go out there and you can find them for $5 for the blankets. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of blankets that we gathered up last year. Let's do it again this year. The blanket drive is December September 15th. Remember, you can bring your blankets by the station at 6 a.m. We'll have people out there that will be picking them up. It's curbside service for the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive this year. So please, plan for December 15th. I know it's a little short notice, but we can handle this. We can handle this. And you got to take it in consideration. The weather hasn't been that cold. It's going to get cold. It is going to get cold. We have snow coming at us later this very week. So the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive, December 15th. We will once again be broadcasting live from George Washington Carver House. You can bring your blankets there. We'll have some hot chocolate. We'll have some conversation for you. I'll be there with Irene J. Smith and a bunch of other folks who are going to jump in and join us. There's a meeting this Friday at 6 o'clock at Irene J. Smith's headquarters there, the White House, at Union and 70. I will see you all the volunteers that worked on us, worked on the campaign last year. We need you again this week, this Friday, so we can get this blanket drive off to a great start and a great, even better finish. December 15th, and don't forget the day after that, December 16th is the day we'll be delivering the blankets. So the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive, December 15th this year. Be there, be part of it. I'll be doing open lines next hour. I'll be back. Stay with me.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. This stop Latvia. President Bush is preparing for the NATO summit with a speech in the former Soviet Republic. Earlier today, he talked to the American educated president of Estonia. ABC's Anne Compton is traveling with him.
After a warm welcome in Estonia, where an honor guard greeted him in the cobblestone courtyard of a palace built for czars, President Bush has traveled south to neighboring Latvia and a NATO summit consumed by worry about Afghanistan. Historically, NATO was a defense alliance for democracies in Europe, but its members now deploy 32,000 troops in an increasingly hostile Afghanistan. President Bush is urging NATO to persevere. Ann Compton, ABC News, traveling with the president in Estonia.
Pope Benedict is in Turkey. He's on a trip, he says, to mend fences between Christians and Muslims, but it may not be easy for the Roman Catholic leader.
The reason it's so tense, of course, is it was just a few months ago that Pope Benedict made that speech in Germany offending Muslims around the world. Today he laid a wreath at the tomb of the founder of modern Turkey and then signed the guest book with Kemal Atatürk's own words, "Peace at home, peace in the world." Now, the adoring crowds that usually accompany a papal visit largely absent today. There were angry protests before his arrival, so the crowds are being kept well back.
ABC's David Wright in Ankara. We could soon learn the name of the pilot who was at the controls of a U.S. F-16 that crashed yesterday in Iraq. Brigadier General Stephen Hoji says he is still missing.
The ejection seat was found, but it wasn't found in a position that indicated one way or the other, and that's what they're going out there to determine.
The military does not, however, think that the plane was shot down. They don't believe it crashed due to hostile fire. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is down 16 points, NASDAQ is off 9. This is ABC News.
Today's guest stylist is Lamp. He's taking us to Kohl's 50% off sale, which is this Tuesday and Wednesday.
Winter white is stunning this year. Look for it in cream sweaters and hats, gloves and scarves, like I'm seeing throughout the store. See? Clean and elegant. And nothing looks more winter wonderland indoors than white accented with gold or silver.
Magical choices at Kohl's 50% off sale. Save 50% on styles for you and your home this Tuesday from 8 a.m. to midnight and Wednesday from 7 a.m. to midnight at Kohl's. Expect great things.
I'm a mother of three, and I'm just beginning a whole new career. I'm enjoying this part of my life every bit as much as when I was winning 18 Grand Slam tennis titles. And with delicious new CitraCal Creamy Bites, I even enjoy taking the calcium I need to help prevent osteoporosis. I'm Chris Evert. I'm 51, and I am strong.
Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. CitraCal Calcium. Stand strong.
Many women are saying it's about time. British researchers say they've developed a male contraceptive pill and that it could be on the market in 5 years. It's actually a combination of two medicines that are already on the market.
One treats high blood pressure, the other schizophrenia. But together, they temporarily block the body from releasing sperm during sex.
According to the researchers, a man would take the pill and then wait several hours for it to take effect. Then that effect would last for about 24 hours. And after that, he'd go right back to normal.
ABC's Nancy Cordes. Now, guys, we have always thought that you don't talk enough, and now we have proof of it. A University of California study says women talk up to three times as much as men do. In fact, we average about 20,000 words a day. That's about 13,000 more than you men do. We also are apparently better at expressing our emotions. One researcher puts it this way: women have an 8-lane superhighway for processing emotion, and men have a country road. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a proposal to recall Overland Mayor Ann Persner is headed for a vote. The Overland City Council voted last night to draft an ordinance calling for the recall election. Last week, the St. Louis County Election Board certified a petition calling for the recall. Persner has faced criticism and legal action since she tried to replace Police Chief Jim Herron and City Attorney Bob Herman. She was elected by only a few votes in April. The former chief financial officer of Moore Automotive Group is going to prison. Julie Lewis was sentenced yesterday to 41 months in prison and ordered to pay $2.4 million in restitution. Lewis pleaded guilty in September to wire fraud. Prosecutors say she used her credit card to make personal purchases and then transferred money from Moore's accounts to pay the bills. Lewis also used money from the Moore Automotive account to buy land in Warren County and then made a false entry showing that the money had been repaid. Finally this hour, the U.S. Postal Service in St. Louis will process 3.6 million pieces of mail between now and Christmas. Valerie Hughes, a spokesperson for the USPS, has advice for people looking to mail holiday cards and packages by Christmas.
Mail early. You know, the Postal Service makes every effort to make sure every card and letter and package gets to where it's supposed to be by Christmas, but our customers can help us by mailing as early as possible.
Hughes says if you get your mail out by the set deadlines, there should be no problem getting your cards and letters to their destination on time. For a list of holiday mail deadlines, log on to www.usps.com. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering couples complimentary 3 days, 2 nights hotel in Las Vegas. So call today, 877-57-VEGAS, 877-57-VEGAS. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 40 at McKnight, that accident's been reported. A person was struck and two right lanes are closed. Traffic is slowing near Kings Highway. Eastbound 40 from Woods Mill all the way into McKnight is slow due to the accident in westbound lanes. There's an additional accident blocking the right lane west of 270 in the middle of this slowdown. There are a number of ongoing construction projects in and around the St. Louis area. The only other delays you can expect are those rolling into downtown for that last-minute morning rush. But the construction projects, just use caution to slow down through those work zones and give yourself as well as the workers a break. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery's instant tickets. 11 tickets, $100 million in total available cash prizes. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. A lot of things are going to change in the next 48 hours. Today, cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, a little breezy with a high in the upper 60s this evening. Cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, low in the upper 50s. For Wednesday, cloudy, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high around 70. Wednesday evening, breezy, much colder. Occasional showers and thunderstorms are possible, low in the mid-30s. Then Thursday, everything changes. Much colder, blustery, occasional rain in the morning, mixing with freezing rain and sleet by the afternoon. They're expecting some ice accumulations are possible. The highs will be in the mid-30s, but it'll be dropping into the 20s by the afternoon. Thursday evening, there's a chance of snow, and snow accumulations are possible, and it will be colder with a low in the lower 20s. So enjoy today. It's 58 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 59. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this end? I think I'm hearing revolution.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back. My name. Say my name, Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. I know y'all have a lot you want to talk about. Let's get to it. Juanita, Good morning.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
I am much better now. Thank you.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, we missed you.
Well, it's nice to be missed.
Yeah, anyway, I called in. I mean, I listened to, at the last minute of your guest talking about Michael Richards.
Uh-huh.
And she was saying that black people knew that, he knew that black people didn't have any power to do anything, and that's why he did that. And then I'm thinking, I said, well, why is he apologizing all over the place if black people didn't have any power? I mean, he called Al Sharpton. He called Jesse Jackson. He asked Al Sharpton. I think Al Sharpton told him that wasn't enough to him apologize to him. He's just one man.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked Al Sharpton, what should he do and all that. And
but I guess to try to kind of explain what I think that Todd meant when he said that, Todd Burrows meant when he said that was he had that Michael Richards had a comfort level of saying that those things because he felt that people could not do anything to him. And what he is experiencing now is that there are a lot of things that we know, Juanita, and things that we will never know about what Michael Richards is now concerned about. Michael Richards has probably, I suspect, had a conversation with Jerry Seinfeld on how much money he is going to lose. This isn't just black people. These are white people that are very upset with this. I've gone to the blogs, and a lot of white people have said, you know what, I'm not going to buy the DVD set. I don't like Seinfeld anymore. I will never look at Seinfeld. But I mean, that's what white people are saying. I think that there is a serious concern on the part of Michael Richards and on the part of Jerry Seinfeld, and there should be, because there is no wiggle room in the actions of. We didn't have the tape of Mel Gibson. Okay, but look what that did. Okay, we have the smoking gun. We have the gun. We have the bullet going through the air. We have all of the evidence on Michael Richards, and what he is having to confront is something that most people like him never have to confront, and that is the evidence that they did what they did, and the inescapability of, just like with the Macaca moment with George Allen, if there hadn't been an internet and a place called YouTube, George Allen would be the senator right now. But now, because we have so many ways to get this stuff, information out here, that we don't have to rely upon ABC and Katie Couric, Katie Fake News Couric, and all, anybody else like that, this information is out there now in a way that it couldn't have been out there 5 years ago when the Seinfeld was live and on the air.
Right.
So he is experiencing stuff today in a way that he's never had to. Nobody's ever had to experience before. I believe he started with the belief that I can say and do anything that I want to.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
The reality of what has caught up with him, it hasn't been the. I still don't believe it's the black backlash that he's concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's concerned about the white backlash, and he needs a black person to stand next to him to say, oh, he didn't mean it. We forgive him.
Right.
Therefore,
right.
Some white people will say, okay, well, if black people ain't mad about it, I ain't mad about it either.
Exactly.
So that's what he's looking for.
He
still thinks that Jesse Jackson is the N-word.
Right.
Okay, he still believes that every black person that he's standing next to is the N-word.
Exactly. He believes it. Yeah.
Yes,
why
he does.
He has to go to anger management. He knows.
He knows what he did. You know, this isn't about anger. This is about who you are.
That's what he is.
Yes,
that's
he is. He's a racist. He just didn't have a sheet with him.
Right.
Thanks for your call, Juanita.
Bye-bye.
My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. We have so much stuff to talk about.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with every day that passes by. Yeah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you back. Okay.
Thank you.
You know the journalist that I was talking this morning about this thing, this comedy.
Well,
Mike
Richards, and the guest that I had this morning was Todd Burrows.
Okay. So, I was talking about that, but, you know, it always puzzled me, you know, that I can't understand why that, as my mother always said, charity begins at home, that it would insult black people so bad when a white man called me the N-word, but yet our own people are running around making money off of singing songs all on the streets. If the word is insulting, then what about the times when I'm driving my car in the city and there's white folks around me, there's black folks around me, and there's a guy with his rap song on?
Oh, I don't think, but I don't think that there is a general consensus within the community of African descent that this word is acceptable. I believe that there are some that do use that word, and it's wrong. It was wrong when Richard Pryor used it when he had an album entitled Bicentennial N-Word. It was wrong. This, I mean, every generation is deals with that. I mean, every generation has been dealing with the use of that word. And that's one of the things that I think that is so positive to come out of this, is that there was a press conference yesterday with Maxine Waters and a number of other people of African descent. And one person in also included in that group was a man by the name of Paul Mooney. Paul Mooney is a huge comedy writer. He wrote a lot for Dave Chappelle. He wrote for Richard Pryor. He's a big time African comedy writer, and he used the word, the N word, profusely. I couldn't listen to him because he used the word so frequently. He has said, coming out of this event, by this racist rant by Michael Richards, that he will never use that word again. I think that there is an opportunity, Obadiah, to and also the press conference called for rappers not to use that word. So, and I think that there also needs to be pressure put upon the music companies that allow these rappers to use that word, because they don't, the same companies don't push or don't put money behind conscious rap. So obviously these companies have the ability to influence the words that come out of the music that they produce, that they pay for. I think that there is a positive opportunity, there's a wonderful opportunity to come out of this.
Well, yes, I agree with you, and that's very good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you was talking about why that our young people, this generation, don't really understand that that's a ancient word, you know. Well, one of the reasons is that it's come through their education. You see, well, of the black kids that today, this generation, they went to school with white folks. They read the same curriculum. They passed the same exams, and their thoughts is like their thinking. You know, this is what school is about, is to condition people to act a certain way,
to accept certain things.
Right, mm-hmm. Up to certain things. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that kids read these stories and things, and they get the same concept from the black history as white folks do. White people don't see what they were suffering. It's just no feeling there.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Another reminder for the blanket drive, December 15th. Put it on your calendar. We're going to be here at the station. We'll have drop-off right here. You don't even have to get out your car. Someone will come to your car window to take your blankets from you here at the station and at George Washington Carver House. We'll be broadcasting live from George Washington Carver House on the 15th of December. So plan on it. Start getting your blankets December 15th. We're having a meeting this Friday at 6 o'clock at the White House at Irene J. Smith's office right there at Union and 70. Come on down to the meeting. I need all of our volunteers that we had last year. We got to go through it again. We all did such a fabulous job last year. I can't wait to see you again this year. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Andre.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're back and up and on your feet.
Yes, it's a good thing.
I missed you.
Thank you. It's nice to be missed.
But regarding this thing with Richards, I haven't really been following it all that closely, but I'm not surprised. I mean, all he did was just to show the world his true color.
So did you hear it? Did you hear what he said? Did you see him saying it?
I did see part of that clip on television, yes. And I did see him also on some show, and I can't think what it was.
David Letterman?
It might have been. And mm-hmm. He was talking about how, well, I'm not a racist. I'm really not. I'm shocked.
You know what the question should have been to him, Andre, is what is your definition of a racist?
That would be a good question, because that's something that people are really not clear about,
mm-hmm.
as they should be.
And when you force people to describe what they think, what they define a racist is, oftentimes people like Michael Richards go to, you actually have to have a body hanging from a tree,
right.
with a hood,
right.
over yourself before you are actually a racist.
Right. And as far as the effect on teenagers and children, like you all were talking about at Howard, I didn't know that was going on,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not surprised. The sad thing to me is that, for me, the use of that word is much more offensive coming from black folks than it is from white folks, because I expect from white folks.
No, it's not. It's not more offensive coming from black folks. It is not. It is bad. It is bad. But no, those are fighting words. Those are absolutely fighting. No. I'm not giving that up. It is not worse from my perspective. No,
okay,
sir.
Well,
no, sir.
It isn't. And also, it's so much more so for me because it denotes a kind of self-loathing.
I get that. I accept that. But that's not worse than the white person that brings it to me like that. That is not worse in my book. I know a person that hates themselves, that's a sad thing. A person that comes to me and insults me about my race, that's a whole, and with the intention to do so, and with all of the history of everybody that looked like him, oh, no, that's a different conversation. It's a different conversation.
And it's happening all the time. You know, one of the problems with this whole thing is that this is what children are getting at home. And I know in so many, I'm not saying that it's happening everywhere, but in so many cases it's happening at home. I hear it on the street all the time. I have friends that I have to correct and tell them that, you know, no matter what you do, just don't say it in my presence.
Mm-hmm. And but look, I mean, even when I was a child, there were people that were saying it, and I had to correct them. So it's not. I think that it is larger from the perspective that it's in the media in the way that it wasn't before. You never heard that word. You rarely heard that word at all on a record when I was growing up.
Right.
But there has always been a struggle with the use of that word. Always.
Yeah. And it's something that we just have to work with.
Absolutely.
So many of us, unfortunately, will even defend it.
Well, and again, that I believe that comes from the conversations that have not been had and the education that hasn't been engaged in. And one of the things that is interesting to me that is not being talked about in terms of what Richards did, he needs to be charged with a hate crime.
Okay, I'm all for it.
You know, and that's why I'm saying that it is worse when a white person does it to a black person, because that is a hate crime. That is a clear hate crime. And I think that we need to be clear on that, that it's a hate crime. Absolutely, without question, hesitation, or pause, it's a hate crime, and Richard should be charged with a hate crime.
I have no problem with it.
All right, now. Thank you, Andre. Look, folks, we're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me, 1-877-920-WGNU. I'll be back at you. And it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. Stop putting it off. The West End Arts Council proudly presents Wintermarkt Saturday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Greg Freeman Park at Kingsbury and the Pear. It's a local reimagination of a centuries-old German winter festival, with handmade gifts, toys, decorations, baked goods, hot cider, roasted chestnuts, live music, carriage rides, and the spirit of the season. Proceeds benefit local artists and the West End Arts Council. Call the Skinker de Bolivar Community Council at 314-862-5122. Wintermarkt, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., December 9th.
anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Everything will be all right. He assures her, but she doesn't hear a word that he said. Preoccupied, she's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say. So he prays, whatever, 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 whatever happens, don't let go of my hand.
Welcome back, welcome back. Whatever happened, don't let go of my hand. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Chuck, good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
So glad to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Your voice sounds strong, so I guess you're feeling way much better.
Well, thank you.
All right. I have a quick question.
Sure.
Are you going to have St. Louis School Watch tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because I'm seeing some crazy things.
Crazy, 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 crazy stuff.
Peter will be there?
Peter will be here.
All right.
And he was so upset that he wasn't going to be here last week. So, no, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
We have a lot to talk about.
Okay.
All right.
All right. You have a great day.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Life is good, Liz. How you doing?
How are you, Veda?
Oh, hey, I'm just struggling, trying to do my thing to hold on to my power. I refuse to let my power go.
Absolutely.
Liz, Veronica O'Brien is on one of the hip-hop radio stations running down the school board.
Oh, it's so sad.
You know,
it
I wish
so
I could give lady
sad.
A nice cold beverage so she can sit back and relax.
It's just so sad.
Yeah,
it is dreadful. It is dreadful, dreadful, dreadful.
The president of school board.
You know, and I think that what is going to happen is that we really need a successful election this coming in April is the next election for a school board member. Veronica O'Brien, I'm concerned about her stability. I am concerned about her stability on the school board. Because the stuff that she is doing right now is absolutely—it's madness. It is absolute madness.
Is this woman is just playing for the other side?
No, I think that there is some I think that there are some stability issues that are of concern here, and the other piece of it because no, I don't think so. I think that there is some people really, really, really like attention and. The fact that here's what's different with this what's going on with the St. Louis Public School Board. I am talking to folks that that have really really were angry with me with my support of superintendent the new Diana Barrichello. I am now talking to these people, and they've all had a chance to meet with and talk to Superintendent Diana Barrichello. And they've come away from those meetings so excited, so positive about the future of the St. Louis Public Schools. We've had conversations. I've had conversations with those same people saying, Liz, I was wrong. You know, I was mad at you because you did not support the black superintendent. And I said, I explained to you why I didn't. And
he wasn't right.
Do you know? Let me just tell you this. Do you know that because of the decision making of that idiot, that $300,000 idiot, there is no first year algebra being taught in any junior high grade in the St. Louis Public Schools.
And that's sad. Our kids need this.
Wait a minute. Need that? How do you need that? His job was to come here and to destroy this district. Period. Dot.
And we had a lot of, you know, prominent black names I'm not going to name who was defending this guy like he was the second coming of Jesus, and this guy came in here conquer and destroy.
Well, to carry out the plan of Francis Lay to
and
destroy.
As you always say, carrying the water.
Carrying the water for Francis Lay. Veronica O'Brien has lost her mind. The things that she is saying right now are absolutely inconsistent with the reality of what is going on in this district. And it's reducing her down into a petty complainer standing on the sidelines of the school district. There's no reason for, I understand talking about a person like the guy that was Craig Williams, C-R-E-G Williams, going to the media to talk about him because there was no accessibility. There was absolutely no accessibility. Williams would not meet with school board members. He would not talk to them. The people on the board had no choice. Diana Borisow has bent over backwards in meeting with Veronica O'Brien. Veronica O'Brien has had access to the superintendent from 6 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the morning. And she has used those times to call the superintendent, to talk at the superintendent. So for her now to go on an attack of this district is indefensible.
And Liz, she's doing it right now. And the guy, Craig Black, asked Miss O'Brien, would you like to take some calls on the caller? She said, oh, no.
No, of course not.
Woman's a coward.
Of course
Liz,
not.
Liz, we got to get out of there, and I'm out of here. Have a good day, and it's good to have you back.
Thanks for your
call. We'll be lost in the black community without this show.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, young lady. How are you?
TC, good morning.
I think the young lady definitely has a mental problem. I think maybe the job is just too much for, but the purpose of the call, have you talked about the latest shooting death of the young black brother in New York City and the other two brothers that
23-year-old Sean Bell, who was getting ready to marry his baby, get married on Saturday night, 50 bullets in him, 50 bullets.
Have you heard any more detail, or you heard any more about it?
It's a breaking story. So no, I have not heard a whole lot about it. We've had demonstrations in New York. People talking about Amadou Diallo in 1999. He was shot 41 times. Mayor Bloomberg has met with community folks to diffuse the anger over the shooting. Unarmed African man, 50 times. But here's what Bloomberg has said. He condemned the shooting, but he will support the city's police commissioner. So what good are you?
Right.
So what good are you?
Same thing again. Now, according to the Post, I don't know if you can go by that, but the little bit they had this morning, the car was being used as a weapon, and they thought one of the guys had a gun, but no gun was found. And it's just the same thing over and over. And I think it will continue to happen until these police officers go to jail. I always go back to what happened 4 years ago on Halloween on Chambers Road in St. Louis County, where a St. Louis County police sergeant was shot point blank in a house with a shotgun, and the Caucasian male that shot the guy was arrested, brought out the house without a hair on his head being out of place. It's just amazing that it constantly happens. And
step out of the way of the car. Step out of the way. Step out of the way of the car.
Right. Yeah. But it's just amazing that it constantly happens. And the same old excuse when I thought it was a weapon. And I can name time after time where Caucasian male has driven over the police officer and wasn't shot. So it's sad, but it's reality. And I know you could be on that particular story. As always, young lady, I love you. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for your call, TC. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
John, good morning.
Yeah, glad to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I had to call about the Michael Richards story and share some of my thoughts. The thing that really struck me in the hour you had with your guest, you all talked about the shame that came out of the Civil Rights Movement, where the Civil Rights Movement really shamed the white community.
Mm-hmm.
And to my way of thinking, I think the white community has been dealing not very well with that shame ever since. And this issue, I think, really brings it to the fore again. I think that what what we try to do as a white community is say, well, that's all behind us. Now we're colorblind. And that's how we
is that
express
shame?
Our shame.
Is that shame?
I think so. I think that the country was revealed for not living up to its ideals. And it was so blatantly obvious that we had to acquiesce. But I think that all of us as white people still have a great sense of shame about our history. And I think we deal with it by repression. And so the way that we've, our number one way of repressing it has been to say, well, now we're colorblind. That all happened in the past. Now we're colorblind.
It's fixed.
It's fixed. And then when somebody like George Allen comes along, it's very easy to put him in a box. Well, he's a racist.
But wait a minute. George Allen almost won that race. You know, I mean, it wasn't like he lost by a landslide.
Right. Well, you know, there's different levels in every community, and different people in different communities are always coping with things on different levels. When I think there's, you know, what I think is the scariest thing is that the people in the white community who call themselves liberals and think that they are somehow, they've solved these issues. Sometimes I think they're the most scary. And I think, you know, so liberals can put George Allen in a box and say, well, he's a racist, and that's clear, I'm not him, and so we'll all go on with our lives.
And that's why the question, I believe, that has not been asked, I have not seen anybody ask Michael Richards this question, and that is, what is your definition of a racist?
Right. Because he's wanting to jump out there. When I see the tapes of him on the Letterman show, I haven't seen or heard what he said.
Oh, my God.
On the Letterman show, when I see him, what I see is shame.
See, I don't...
He's so busy saying, I'm not a racist.
I don't see shame at all. I see fear. I see fear of loss of something, whether it's loss of money, whether it's loss of invitations to parties, whether it's loss of access to venues that he would have had. I see fear in that. I see fear.
Yeah. Well, see, I think shame and fear are related. You know, there's a strong fear of being shamed in front of the community.
But it's not.
I guess, you know, what it taps into in my psyche when I see him as a white person, that's the sense that I get. I don't think, you know.
But doesn't
sure
shame.
There's a level where it's about money.
But John, doesn't shame, okay? Oh, my God, I got caught cheating on an exam. And there's a videotape of me cheating on an exam.
Right.
My mom has seen this. My dad has seen this. All my friends have seen that. The first thing that I say as I'm crying and crying my eyes out is, I am so sorry for cheating. It was wrong. I didn't mean to cheat. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say, oh, my God, I was so racist. I'm sorry for being so racist. He said that wasn't me.
Right. I think there's such a deep level of denial. It's so hard for us to admit that we're racist. And what I saw is even almost as scary as Michael Richards himself was a story I heard on NPR yesterday where they were covering this issue. And they went to a fallback position. It was no longer, well, we're colorblind. The analyst got on, you know, some guy who'd done...
Say it quickly, please.
Academic research, and his point was, well, yeah, maybe we're all racist, but if we don't act on it, then it doesn't really count. And so I want to give Michael Richards a break.
Taking a break.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Phil.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Phil.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Ottawa. Canada's parliament has voted to recognize the residents of Quebec as a nation within Canada. The overwhelming vote by the House of Commons endorsed a move by the government, which supporters say would head off the continuing pressure from separatists who want Quebec to break away from Canada. The designation has already prompted Canada's Intergovernmental Affairs Minister to resign in protest. Michael Chong says it will actually empower the separatists to take their argument a step farther and insist Quebec is a nation without Canada. French-speaking Quebec already calls its provincial legislature the Quebec National Assembly and calls Quebec City a national capital. Opponents of its recognition as a nation within Canada say it will only open the door to a breakup of Canada at some point in the future. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
When it comes to quality health care in the home, MidAmerica is the home health agency of choice. Their skilled and experienced professional staff provide excellent healing care. If you are in need of a registered nurse, physical, occupational, or speech therapist, medical social worker, home health aide, homemaker services, respite care, or non-emergency transportation, call MidAmerica Home Health at 314-725-2200. That's 314-725-2200.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
That's good. You know, I was listening to the argument about Negro and the other part, the N-word. And people in America have been made shame black to be called that. Now, let's take the word itself. It comes from the raw negus of Ethiopia, N-E-G-U-S. So a lot of black people have been made shame because it's N-I-G-G-E-R, and they've never studied it.
People of African descent have not been made ashamed of anything. What they have...
made ashamed in the brainwashing game...
Made shame. There are too many people. Too many people of African descent that have hung from too many trees. Too many homes being burned down as a result of the use of that word.
Derogatory because they made it derogatory.
And it is.
And I want to say this. I don't like it, period, the way it's used on either side flaunting it loosely and
nobody
and,
should
and
like
in a degrading way. So I don't black or white for saying it. I don't think blacks should call each other that either.
I don't think so either. I don't think nobody on this show has ever said nobody calling the show has ever defended it the use by anybody.
No, I mean I'm talking about in the street.
I know what you're talking about.
The show is one thing and the street is another.
But what you're saying is you're saying the same thing that people are saying when they call in on the show that they don't like hearing it on the street either.
But what I'm saying then it means a volume of it is in the street. And I hear it every day. I drove a cab 41 years, so I've faced it.
And again, it's wrong. It's wrong for it to be used in the street.
Then they shut their mouths sometimes when they're in the presence of Caucasians. And I don't think that's right.
Okay. All right.
And Obadiah is on time. I just hope he don't compromise. He's on time with everything he said with these learning institutions. That's another thing. They're like a bunch of pack rats coming out of the Himalayas.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call, Sylvia.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
That's
How are
good.
You?
That's good. I'm glad to hear you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I was calling because last year my daughter was in the seventh grade.
Uh-huh.
And she is the only African-American in her class.
What school is this?
Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And they read To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher had to read to these children.
Mm-hmm.
And that word came up.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter came home, and she told me about it. And she said it was something in the pit of her stomach that failed when she heard her teacher read it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just read over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was some little boys in the back of the class.
That giggled.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it really hurt her because...
Did the teacher say anything?
No.
To the boys that giggled?
No.
Okay, so what did you do?
My daughter asked me not to call the school.
But what did you do?
I talked to my daughter about it. And
why did your daughter not want you to contact the school?
She thought it would be a reprisal from her lit teacher.
Okay, so what does that make you feel as a parent, that there would be a reprisal to your daughter for the use of her challenging her teacher using the N-word?
Right, and I was thinking about calling the school today after listening to all the programming to let them... I mean, she is the only African American in the whole school.
So what does that? Why? Can I just ask you this? Why is your baby the only black child in that school? Why is she in a school where she's the only black child?
It wasn't like that at first. The kids just were graduating, but she's left now in the eighth grade.
Well, what do you think it does to her psyche, Sylvia? Because that's what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
What does it do to the psyche of an African child to have to sit in a classroom where the teacher uses the N-word. Now, the teacher chose which book to read.
Right.
She did not have to use that word. She didn't have to say the word. And she's not only sitting in a classroom where she has to sit there as the, there's no safety place for your baby. Because I'm guessing this, and tell me if I'm wrong, are there any black teachers there?
No.
All right. So she's the only black person, and she's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
In this environment, this hostile environment, hostile because the teacher's reading out loud the
right.
book.
And my daughter's reading on a college level, and I'm like, you're reading on a college level, and she has to read?
I don't even care about that right now. Okay, I don't even care about what level your daughter's. I'm just saying that the teacher is using the N-word in her class, and there are boys giggling about it. The teacher doesn't address it, and your daughter, what she has taken from the environment that she's in is, Mama, I felt awful. I felt horrible. And she also felt it's in a way that she doesn't even have the vocabulary to tell you entirely what she felt. Know that.
Mm-hmm.
And she has absorbed the message of her environment that don't say anything because they will get me if
right.
we say anything.
Right. And the same two boys.
Ain't nothing going to happen to this. Uh-huh.
They came to my car, and I guess they felt, I don't know, they would say, yo-ho, you know, trying to be hip or something. My daughter jumps out of the car, and she runs at the little boys, and she told them, don't you ever talk to my mother that way again.
Why is your baby the only black child in the school? There's no place of safety for your child. There's not.
I'm just waiting for this year to be over so I can go to another school.
There is no place. I mean, your child, I believe that your child, you need to find a therapist for your daughter to help work out the environment, because there are going to be things that she's not going to tell you as her mother, Sylvia, because she knows you love her. She knows that you believe that you're doing the best thing for her. Mm-hmm. There are things that she has absorbed and is internalized that she's going to need help to talk to people with about. Mm-hmm. That's a hostile environment.
Mm-hmm.
And and at that age, it's a hugely damn. She doesn't have the coping skills to deal with that. And nor should she. How do you really learn in an environment like that?
That's true.
You know, and also, Sylvia, and I know you love your baby, and please just believe me, believe that I know that you love your baby, but your not calling also says something to your daughter, too, that my mom is powerless to do anything about it as well.
Okay.
And that's not a good thing, that no child should feel that way. Not with a mama that loves them.
Right. That's what I say. I'm calling today to discuss with them
the hostile use of that book.
The hostile
environment that it creates for your daughter. And also, the hostile environment, and that the same boys that laughed and the teacher didn't check came up and disrespected you.
Right.
Just like they laughed when they said the N-word and your daughter was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher didn't do anything. And I would be surprised that the school did anything. But your daughter needs to have that knowledge in her psyche that her mama stood up and fought for her.
Okay.
She needs to have that. And
okay.
Get your baby out of that school. Get
well,
your baby
only has
out of
1 year left. And I'm
1 year left out. Means she has to go back next year?
No. She's going into high school.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Let me know how it works out.
All right.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Lindsay.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
You know what? I feel so sorry for that woman. That is so pitiful. I really called to tell, ask, say, and thank God you're back. I enjoyed Miss Smith, but I'm glad you're back. This is the reason why you often hear me say, with deaths like this of a young man and with this hostile environment that child is in, now no black person should be buying anything for Christmas, because that's not Christianity.
Mm.
We need to keep your money in your pocket.
Well, we need to have the conversation. We need to have the conversation about charter schools and private schools, because a lot of parents are thinking that these private schools are the place for their environment.
That's one of the best things. But why would you keep your child there when she's the only one?
Mm.
My baby, if I were going to let her stay, she would have come out that day.
Mm.
Why is she going to go back?
Mm.
I would. The only thing I'd go and tell those people, I would tell them all. But I'd also say today she is coming out.
Today,
she will not be here. She will not be able
because
to say when she gets grown, she ever graduated from that reckless place. Because, you know, like, her mom was setting her up for her to be raped. Now, that is awful to say, because nobody out there is going to admit it ever happened.
Wow. Thanks for your call.
And you have a good day.
I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening. Stay strong, and don't forget about the blanket drive on December 15th. I'll be back.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.